It's showtime.
Go head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head on with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. And here we go, off and running on rather an amazing day, the 15th day of August, 2023. This is the Horn. HeadOn.live is where you go if you'd like to be part of the merry, wacky, zany, real-time, madcap, multimedia extravaganza that takes place every in the 3 hours in which this program is live, every Monday through Friday, 5 to 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, 2 to 5 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time, all time zones in between, and the great globe round, and even in places where they don't respect the D in daylight savings time. Hi, I'm Robin. And, okay, we got a fundraising hole and stuff, but still. He's so indicted, and he just can't fight it. I know. But I just kind of like it. I'm waiting all day. But at least I got that out of my system. I was greeted with a message this morning when I awakened from Chris and Jeremy. Oh, what a beautiful morning. Oh, what a beautiful day. I've got a beautiful feeling. Trump is going away. Oh, God, the singing is going to be the end of me. Ah. But so it's the day after the late night in indictment bash, and this is And look, later I've been thinking about this all day. I didn't put anything up online or anything like that. But if y'all would like to do a front porch to cuss and discuss this. Oh my God, when Fonnie Willis is mad at you, she doesn't throw the book at you, she throws the entire Library of Alexandria. Dear God, woman. it was gratifying. You know, we were sort of all waiting during the program's live edition yesterday to see what would happen, and throughout the course of the time we were on air, Judge McBurney kept coming back into the courtroom going, yeah, I need another hour too, y'all. And it turns out, well, it was warranted. But I'm getting ahead of myself, because every program here at the Horn begins with gratitude, and this program is no different. And so thanks go out to our 15th day of the month subscribers. We are, well, I guess halfway-ish through August, and it looks like here in the hills and hollers of almost level west by Cole Manchinistan, we are in the dog days. Or, you know, the pollen days. That was one of those disappointing sneeze on the way, but sneeze didn't happen. Damn it. But by the way, for what it's worth, I'm feeling much better. But thank you very kindly to our 15th day of the month subscriber, Robert. Thank you so much, Robert, for being the subscriber today. God, we need new subscribers, more subscribers to join people like Robert. If you're new to the program, you know, a $10 a month subscription, just, you know, going to headon.live, going on PayPal, putting in 10 bucks or whatever you choose. But if it's 10 bucks, you know, you're, every program is going to set you back less than, well, it's about a half a piece of, you know, for those of you of a certain age, remember when your mom would tear a piece of Wrigley's gum in half and give you half the stick of gum? It's not even a full half stick that you're out if you subscribe to the program. It's over there at headon.live, the PayPal interface. There's a box that says make this a recurring monthly donation or something like that. Do that. Set it and forget it. What is that noise? Engine noise? Scary Jerry asked. Let me... I think somebody's mowing their yard near me. There are some things that even the magnificence of the bass roll-off and the noise reduction on the 20-year-old, not quite 20-year-old, Electro Voice RE20. Yeah, mine is not golden, but yeah, the Pineapple Prince used a golden EIB microphone, my friends. Yeah, I bet I know where, well, after all those pineapples, who knows where that golden microphone is. But thank you. Oh, Emilio, I'm so sad. Emilio just jumped in memory of his beloved four-legged pal, Lupita. My dog died this morning, and I'm so sad. Please forgive me, Lupita. Please. Oh, I know she loved you. Emilio, I'm so sorry. It hurts. It hurts so badly when we lose our fur baby, members of our fur baby family. But thank you. Where are we trying to catch up? Well, power bill's due tomorrow. And the number at present to get caught up is at $1,600. Ouch. And we probably need to knock out about 600 of that in order to keep things going, so there'll be a program tomorrow and the like. So we need to fund 2 days last week. So that would be let's see, 1, 2, Friday, Thursday. We need to finish funding Tuesday and then fund Wednesday, because we're running behind, and we have been for months now. Any help is good help. I'll just say that. A couple of AI screenshots from Scary Jerry. In response to Rhonda Satan asking Disney to stop because they will lose. I like the first one, Scary Jerry. I do. I don't know why, but there's something about it there, you know, hovering over the water. Plus, you know, the mouse ears. Singing, Lee in New York says, at least the Star Trek Strange New Worlds episode Subspace Rhapsody did not have Shatner singing as James Kirk, obligatory Star Trek reference. And I still say, that may be the best Star Trek episode ever. And I can't stop listening to Christine Chappell singing I'm Ready. Who knows where that golden microphone has been? Okay, Lee, that's fair. That's good. Is there a rush to ruin dinner? No, but I guess I kind of did. Oh, thank you, Darlene. Darlene in Connecticut saying, I'm so sorry, Emilio. I can't even bear to think about losing my pups as they're in their twilight years now, and I know that day is coming sooner rather than later. Many condolences, and thank you for giving your fur baby a wonderful forever home. Yeah, perfectly put. Perfectly put, Darlene. So perfectly put. So, I got an internet from Brother Bishop Steve in Georgistan, all-around great guy. By the way, if you would like to augment your live listening experience by popping over to the head-on.live, Merry Wacky Zany Real-Time Madcap Multimedia Extravaganza, the chat room, you'll be greeted by early arrivers Squeaky and Theo. Hey, Theo. Theo says it's 91 there in the Willamette Valley, and they've had a couple of degrees over 105, and the Willamette Valley is scary dry. I guess it would have to be frightening. Seems like my beloved Appalachia is the only place in the country that isn't just absolutely baking under searing heat. We had something different last night. There's nothing dry about where we are right now. There was rousing thunderstorms last night, and what I was about to say is I had an internet from Brother Bishop Steve. It's not a big truck. It's a series of tubes. Again, I'm never going to stop memorializing the stupidity of Ted Stevens. He's been gone long enough now that we don't have to fool around with that Neil Nisi Bonham bullshit. Ted Stevens of Alaska trying to explain the interweb tubes to his other siblings, geriatric members of the Senate. Senate, of course, coming from Latin Senex. Yeah, hi, Mellow Moonlit Meadow. Hi, Dave. Meaning old. Yeah. But Brother Bishop Steve sent me a message saying, good God, Washington Journal's going to be a zoo in the morning. Can't wait to see who draws the short straw. I was up early. I don't even know if it was so much up early as up late. This is one of those days where things just don't necessarily... Today's been kind of liminal, if you want to get right down to it. No clearly defined edges to things. But I was up in time for... Well, I got started with my filthy morning habit. And an hour later, I popped... I went to Washington Journal today because it just seemed like the thing to do. I don't know if Todd went to Washington Journal. I'm pretty sure Brother Bishop Steve did. It turned out that Johnny Mack, John McCardle, drew the short straw. And you know, we say they draw the short straw on the bad days when all the maggots are calling in. But it may be a matter if he drew the short straw and the swirly straw. It was an hour of interesting phone-ins. Annette and I were watching, and I said, look, Annette, a call from Hurricane. Johnny Mack referred to Hurricane, West Virginia, as Hurricane, West Virginia. No, Johnny Mack. Hurricane. Really, not that far from Fraser's Bottom, truthfully. Long way from left hand, though. You want left hand a long way from Fraser's Bottom, so. But, I just want to know if any of my other, your other viewers, listeners, whatever. I watched them count them votes in Georgia, and I seen what they done. They wouldn't even let a Trump supporter sit there next to the Democrat vote counter. At which point, I realized that they should probably rename Washington Journal the morning meds wellness check. Because there in Georgia 2020, or any other year for that matter, there are no Democrat vote counters. There are just vote counters. Like the women who had their lives threatened by the good, God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, fundamentalist, homosexual, Christian maggots down in Georgia and elsewhere. And as we were listening to a call on the Republican line from Hurricane West Virginia, Annette, who was every bit as exhausted as I was at that point in time, just looked at the telescreen and put her little index finger up to her lips and said, "Shh, shh, West Virginia, shh, we don't need to make this worse, shh." But he did. West Virginia's in the house. But I noticed that there were a good number of people calling in on the Democrat line saying, one of whom said, "Well, you know, I just wanted to call in and say that I remember when Donald Trump took out a full-page ad demanding that five young men who were innocent of any crime be executed anyway. Central Park Five. Yeah, welcome to karma, Donnie." I thought it fitting. It was appropriate. Steve in New York said, "My ass didn't go to bed till 1:45 a.m. and got up at 5:15 because I had to be at immigration court." Oh, Lordy, that is brutal. Well, the fact of the matter is, we didn't really go to bed for quite a while, because about 3 hours south, well, you know, south-southeast of me is where my son and my beloved daughter-in-law and my precious two little granddaughters and one on the way. That's where they moved, and that's where they live, in a single-wide trailer not far from Bristol or Kingsport. And the news had no sooner crossed my telescreen that the indictment was in. Annette and I were actually watching the final episode of The White House Plumbers, ironically enough. And I saw Ferg calling in on FaceTime. And I thought, well, you know, he's not usually this politically excitable. I always think of Warren Zevon singing "Excitable Boy." God, that's a creepy lyric. Never mind. Probably shouldn't have said that. Yes, Irish Dave says, "So Fonnie Willis has set the table with Titanic plates and a big old..." And I'm waiting for the rest of it. We'll see when that comes in. "And a big old bottle of ketchup at the head. Whereas the Titanic gravy boat is the only thing that remains." Well, you know, they're in the gravy boat, and somebody's yelling, "Stroke, stroke, stroke." Hashtag STS, stoke the stroke. But it turned out Ferg was not calling because he had just seen the news of Trump's indictment in Georgia. He was calling because he was terrified. Because there was a tornado warning out, and it was out for his immediate area. And the warning itself ran through like a little after 11 or something. And it was one of those where you go to the National Weather Service statement and they say, "A tornado has been spotted. It's on the ground. There's circular motion. Get to safety as quickly as possible." And it gives you the trajectory and where it's located and what highway it's near. And And so I tried to calm him, and his mama was sitting there next to me, and we said, breathe, son, breathe. It's going to be okay. And taught him how to get the, said, okay, go get the girls, get them all in the sunken tub, pull the mattress over them. And then said, okay, now it's time for you to go get in the other tub and pull something over you. And it was harrowing. And I suddenly realized that there was something about modern technology that I found at one and the same time a blessing and a curse. Because I could see the fear in my son's eyes. I've told him stories about growing up, down in basically Tornado Alley in Alabama, and taught him basic things to do in the case of one. But the fact of the matter is they're living in a rather old single wide trailer, and the National Weather Service statement said any trailers will either be heavily damaged or destroyed. And that's a sobering thing. So we sat there during the whole pendency of the tornado warning for about an hour. And I realized, and on FaceTime, no, this is an unpaid product placement for Apple products, but FaceTime, no, it's good. More reliable. And I found myself having my thoughts intruded upon by, dear God, we live in a time now where you can watch disasters unfold with people you love. And see things you never wanted to potentially see. The good news is they were spared. It went skipping right down the highway, maybe a quarter of a mile from where they were. He went out and checked around and looked at the debris, the debris field and such. At one point in time, he said, I think I want to come home. I want to be back in West Virginia. We don't have to deal with things like this here. There. My heart just shattered. And it kind of put everything in perspective. On the one hand, there was something of grave national, historical, political, social, legal import taking place in Atlanta, Georgia. But the only thing I could ever focus on was the fact that I wanted my son and my granddaughter and my beloved little grandchildren to see the morning and know what those nights are like. At one point, because he was just having a hard time just sitting there in the bathtub, kind of waiting to be obliterated, he got out and I yelled at him. He said, you got to hear this. I said, I really don't need to hear this. I know what they sound like. He said, it sounds like a low-flying jet. I said, no, son, it sounds like a freight train. It did. And even at night when the lightning would flash, the sky was all kinds of bizarre colors, yellows and purples and blues, lightning all around. Hail that sounded like machine gun fire in Ukraine, banging away on the trailer. He's down there trying to find work. So the upshot of it all was probably got maybe 2 hours of sleep, and then my eyes popped wide open because I knew that it was time to watch my filthy morning habit, and I promised myself that I too would take one for the team, and checked out Washington Journal morning medication check-in wellness check roundup, and what an evening and what a day, as the gravity of what Fonnie Willis did begins to sink in. And the gravity of what Fonnie Willis did began to sink in particular. And I don't really much care about what Nitwit Nero's reaction is in this instance, except to say that he was desperate to figure out some way to dog whistle the maggot base with what he really thinks about Fonnie Willis. God, he's gross. Thank you, Ralphs. Ralphs is offering a $25 challenge for Nitwit Nero's indictment. So that could get us down to $15.50, which would be wonderful. And whatever comes in is going straight to the to Appalachian Power. Well, it's going to Appalachian Power. Thank you, Ralphs. I hope somebody will respond quickly. And we can get on to maybe getting a day or two of the deficit funded. Wait a minute, Billable, what?
Robin, stop telling us how hot it is out there.
Here in Southern California, we've had a remarkably mild summer. We had 20 straight days of sub-70 temps in June, and it didn't reach 85 till about July 15th. Since then, we've had highs around 85 to 92 and lows of 68 to 70. It's been quite pleasant here. Well, maybe the deities are showing mercy on Southern California for a change. I mean, y'all are due for a break, and taking it out on Monkey Up Declantis and Florida and places like the Alabama Gulf Coast. Because I check in with Miss Terry from time to time, and it's absolutely miserable down there. She says, I can't stand to go out the door to work. Get ready to go to work, and next thing you know, you're soaked before you get in the door, and it's not even raining. Yeah, air you can wear. That sounds downright bad. Well, actually, it kind of sounds like here. It hasn't been particularly hot. Let's see, right now, because this is a south-facing studio with great big windows, it is 81 degrees here in the Fabulous Horn Studios at the magnificent Kincaid Mansion. And we haven't even had to light up the Scott Marinoff Memorial Sauna sign. It's just a pleasant day for scantily clad radio. Thank you, Darlene. Darlene just met Ralph's challenge, so we are now down to $15.50. Thank you so much, Darlene. Darlene adding, no matter how old the kids get, they still come home when they're scared. You and Annette were there to give Ferg that feeling he so desperately needed, parental safety, the womb. That had to be so difficult for you and Annette to witness. It was breaking our hearts, and we were scared to death, and I looked at her and I said, if something goes sideways, we're on the road right now, and I don't care what we're driving into. And she went, absolutely. Emilio's sending pictures of little Lupita. Oh, she's adorable. Oh, my goodness. Oh. She was a sweet and loving girl. Oh, what a precious baby. I'm so sorry, Emilio. Oh, what a sweetheart. She looks like she was an absolute doll baby. Randy Radar says, last week here, straight line winds took out both the power and the local cell phone tower. The only thing that worked was my old-fashioned landline phone. Power was out for 7 hours and came back only on at 1 a.m. Yeah, every time those outages come around, I think about all the years I spent saying, yeah, I really want to go off the grid and get solar panels and batteries and just be done with this silliness. It's horrifying. John in Central PA, Nazi Senator Lindsey Graham threatened Democrats on Fox today, saying, "Be careful what you wish for." He's looking more orange these days. Oh, can we please, please, can somebody just out Lindsey once and for all? Yeah, preferably with embarrassing photographs. With circles and arrows and a paragraph on the back of each one. Roger Horn, chief agronomist and chief mathematician, and bud trimmer emeritus and master fermenter. Roger says, "I have renamed the room to Front Porch Indictment Special, August 15th. There's no banner to join, and about all I can do is ring the group, so if all the folks from last Friday would get a call. I can start it at any time." Thank you, Roger. Thanks for jumping out there and taking care of that. We'll see how it all plays out, and just, you know, we'll open the room about a half an hour or so, I guess, because we do need to go over some of the basic, you know, high points, low points, and in between points. I do want to get to this story about. Jesus, he's so disgusting. Kevin in Colorado Springs. Thank you, Kevin. Kevin just jumped in. Thank you so much. Getting us down to $1,500. Thank you. Thank you. This is, this is kind of a celebration day, isn't it? Wait, that's a Led Zeppelin song. Thank you, Kevin. Nitwit Nero, remember during the four horror years of his squatting in the Oval Office, in which every day was Infrastructure Week?
Oh, we're going to deal with infrastructure this week.
Having been indicted by Fani Willis, a woman of color, he ran to his rattle-trap, rickety, falling-apart social media site, Tripe Social, to promise the end of the world or the second coming of Donald Trump or something like that.
A large, complex, detailed, but irrefutable report on the presidential election fraud, which took place in Georgia, is almost complete.
He's only had, 2021, 2022, and more than half of 2023.
But it's almost complete. And will be presented by me, Donald J. Trump. Please don't let the J stand for jailbird. At a major news conference at 11 a.m. on Monday of next week in Bedminster, New Jersey. Based on the results of this conclusive report, all charges should be dropped against me and others. There will be a complete exoneration.
I'm sorry, Donnie. You're still going to have to go to trial, sugar. Because the American judicial system is not designed to run on bloviating, adipose, waddling sacks of sin and grievance online. Now, maybe he found this
huge, believe me, huge
exoneration. Maybe he found it tucked in his Mr. Meth pillow or something. But that wasn't the...
There will be a complete exoneration. They never went after those that rigged the election. They only went after those that fought to find the riggers. The riggers.
I'm so tired of being able to translate maggot speak. It's just so vulgar. I wonder how long it took him to come up, and it's in all caps, of course.
The riggers.
R-I-G-G-E-R-S.
Those that rigged the election.
He did all of that to say riggers, because he knew that his mouth-walking, knuckle-breathing, picking their teeth merrily with their toenail clippings base would...
They'd understand what he meant.
So, I guess he's going to have some sort of... Or maybe not.
I'm sorry, I have to be in court that day. I'm not sure in which case, but I don't have many days I don't have to be in court, y'all.
Exactly. Ralph, he knew that his freak base would get the racist dog whistle right away. And he's... But he can scream riggers all he wants to. I mean, if you see the construction of that message, it's just so... Oh, it's so gross. The whole thing was a setup to use the word riggers. In fact, it is the last word of the message. You know what, Matt in San Francisco? You're probably right. He didn't actually type that. His autocorrect changed it from his original intent. And of course, it was inherent in everything that happened in Georgia.
I just need you to find me 11,780 votes. Come on, fellas. That's just one more.
And he used dog whistles to complain about voters in Fulton County, Georgia.
I don't know why we couldn't have the good old... You know, I want to make America great again, like it was great back when Lester Maddox was a senator when Lester Maddox was running Georgia.
So ugly. And of course, one of those indicted, of course, Rudy Giuliani, is already, well, disbarred over the fact that he promulgated and eagerly spread false information about a pair of African-American poll workers, mother and daughter. They've sued him for defamation. And last month he admitted that he made it all up, which caused, remember the clip from Steve Deese having an on-air conniption about how the maggots were used and it was bullshit the whole time? Remember? Mark Meadows finally sees his name on an indictment. And the thing is, Fannie Willis knows what she's doing when it comes to the Georgia RICO statute. She knows it up, down, sideways, and backwards. She's already used it successfully to bust a bunch of dirty education officials who were trying to rig the test results. Wait, Emilio, who is grieving, nonetheless, said, Lindsey Graham is so butch. Scares wallpaper flowers. Look out. I imagine that could be sexist and homophobic, but we're talking about one of the traitors. I'm sorry. I don't think you've got anything to apologize for. That word, John at Central PA says, you were right again, Robin. You said he's ever so close to using that word outright in public. At some point in time, I think he'll, you know, once he, because he's not there yet. He hasn't gone full Captain Queeg. But he's getting there. Sooner or later, he's going to start talking about the strawberries. Oh, and from our pal Cynthia in the Bay Area, have you ever cooked sous vide style? I have not, but our dear friend Bob Lottie, who has since joined the Celestial Choir Eternal, and as much missed, was a great fan of sous vide, as is Brother Deacon Asa. Cynthia said, I tried it for the first time last night following the guidelines from the article above. I did it with a thick ribeye I bought on sale, and it came out perfectly to my liking, which is medium rare. I cooked it about 2 hours at 138 degrees Fahrenheit, and it came out very tender. Could have probably cut the cook time in half, but the timing worked out well for me. And giving your cooking in a water bath and at a set temperature, your meat can't get hotter than the temperature, and so in that regard, you can't overcook it. The only other issue is how long you let it go, and you may or may not like the results with extended cook times. Otherwise, I gave the method a try because a friend of mine has been raving about it, and from my first try, yeah, it works. The only other thing you would want to do is briefly sear the steak on each side in a hot cast iron pan, as the article describes. Otherwise, happy day after the new indictments. Yay, take that, Trump, and all you stupid idiot maggots. Smiley face, signed Cynthia. That sounds absolutely delicious, and it sounds like a nice way to celebrate indictment day. You may have to sous vide up a ribeye every 14th day of August from now henceforward. What a splendid switcheroo, Darlene says. Like Tracy in her dominatrix days, it's so wonderful that a no-nonsense, tough black woman now owns a privileged, rich white male. Oh, Fonny owns that racist POS. Owns, owns, owns. I'm dying to see if he voluntarily turns himself into her in the next 10 days. I'd love for you to take the temperature on the front porch as to what listeners predict on that question. And I loved that aspect of it, too. I'm giving all defendants until August the 25th to turn themselves in. Oh, God, wouldn't you love to see her issue a capias for him? Arrest him wherever he may be found. Hey, Clarence. Clarence says, Robin, you never cease to amaze me. The observation on the word rigor is on point. Trump really wants to type that in. Oh, he's aching to. The DNA that he inherited from his nasty Klansman daddy is just screaming inside him now. I mean, the spirochetes are singing a hallelujah chorus of that word, shrieking between his ears. It's kind of like yesterday with the story about the young plaintiffs prevailing in Montanistan on the climate change suit. There really needs to be a meme taken from Scooby-Doo of the mask being pulled off the villain's head, and we would have gotten away with it in Montana if it wasn't for you meddling kids. I would have gotten away with
We would have gotten away with it in Georgia if it wasn't for the riggers.
And the smears have been coming out of the Trump campaign almost nonstop all day. It's the same thing over and over again, claiming
she's a radical black woman. Her father was a member of the Black Panther Party.
Bonnie Willis was born to this work.
Murder is up 71% in Atlanta, Georgia.
And then there's the matter of pardons in Georgia, where if he gets convicted on the RICO charge, you know, it's got a statutory minimum of 5 years and a statutory max of 20. And Georgia is one of only a handful of states where the governor of the state does not have sole pardon power. In Georgia, the governor does not have constitutional pardon powers. So as much as we want to see the South Florida case be a slam dunk as long as Aileen Cannon doesn't figure out some way to home cook it, and as much as we want to hear the absolutely damning evidence from the D.C. prosecution over January 6th itself, as much as salacious as anyone, as the trial for the Stormy Daniels payoff will be, Georgia may be where the chickens come home to roost. Because according to Georgia law, a potential pardonee has to wait 5 years to apply for a pardon. And the five-person, as Lou points out, the five-person Board of Pardons and Paroles makes the decision. Unless the Georgia maggot legislature somehow manages to change the law. Sounding like Captain Quigley in New York says, imagine the indicted idiot as Captain Crunch, a cartoon character with an oversized hat, self-promoting, can't talk about anything else.
That Crunchberry beast. He ate all the Crunchberries again.
The local talk. Brother Bishop Steve from Georgistan, all around great guy, says, I don't want to rain on anyone's parade, but this is all over the local news. Trump's lawyers will likely try to have the state criminal case moved to federal court. I'd like to hear the legal minds of the Horn family weigh in on this. I've heard a lot of that. But you have to meet certain thresholds to move it to federal court. At WSB, they're saying he has that right. But it's somewhat misleading, the WSB report. He does not have an absolute right to move it to federal court. He has the right to make that request. It's not a slam dunk. WSB cites Georgia State University law professor Clark Cunningham saying 100% that's the first thing he's going to do. Cunningham went on to say, as a former president, because the acts for which he would be prosecuted took place while he was still president, federal law would allow him to ask for his trial to be moved to a federal court called removal. Yeah, well, he asked for the New York Stormy Daniels payoff case to be moved to federal court, too. And the federal court said, uh-uh. It's a state law. State judges have better expertise in applying state law to fact patterns, and the case is going to stay exactly where it is. but it's, of course, a delaying tactic. But in this case, delay avails him not. Because even if he becomes president of the United States again, I know, puke. Even if he does that, he still can't pardon himself from the Georgia charges. Because the President of the United States does not hold that constitutional power. So I'm not going to spend a lot of time worrying about that. I think there are 161 individual acts that are all wrapped into the one RICO charge. And bear in mind, that's just one charge out of 12. There's a forgery charge, a fraud charge. I would not want to be the pettifogger engaged to defend him in this. And here's what's interesting. Even if he managed to move it to federal court, it is still a state charge, and he still can't pardon himself for it. He is, in short, well, his nuts are in a vice.
Oh.
Jeremy adding that DA Fonnie Willis also said the minimum time served is half the sentence. So if he gets 5, he has to serve 2.5. But, again, the minimum is, the statutory minimum on it is 5 years. Half the sentence, if he gets the 20 years he richly deserves, is 10. He would be out at the age of 87.
I'm going to run again.
Oh, his brain, by the age of 87, his brain will be wherever his daddy's brain went. Talk about your many take a Lufarsin. And the moving hand having writ moved on. Meanwhile, he who laughs last laughs loudest. And Brad Raffensperger, the Georgia Secretary of State, currently is having a bit of a giggle. Without mentioning Nitwit Nero by name, he slipped the shiv in. Issuing a statement today, Brad Raffensperger said, "The most basic principles of a strong democracy are accountability and respect for the Constitution and rule of law. You either have it or you don't." And guess who ain't got it? Gonna be a lot of table pounding. You know, if you've got the law, pound on the law. If you've got the facts, pound on the facts. If you ain't got either one, pound on the table. That's not a terribly effective legal strategy, frankly. Meanwhile, Jenna Ellis is one of the pettifoggers who is under indictment in Georgia now. And this morning, she responded to the news of her indictment by accusing Fonnie Willis of criminalizing the practice of law. And then, of course, Jenna Ellis called on the Lord God Almighty to get her out of this. I am resolved to trust the Lord, and I will simply continue to honor and praise and serve him. Well, she sure wasn't doing that when she tried to foment a coup. I deeply appreciate all of my friends who have reached out offering encouragement and support. Now, Rudy Giuliani lost his law license. She got formally censured by a judge in Colorado earlier this year when she too admitted she had made, because she's a Christian, multiple false claims about fraud in 2020. George Conway skewered her when she put out her scum on that website, formerly known as Twitter. I call it a scummer now. George Conway said, I don't know about you, but I plan to honor and serve the Lord today by not engaging in any racket conspiracies. Keith Boykin, formerly of the Clinton White House, said, the Lord told you to disenfranchise millions of black voters in Georgia? A state representative named Stephen Woodrow from Colorado said, Colorado needs to disbar her. Someone else said, noting how she was trying to use her phony baloney Christianity as a shield, I must have missed that passage in the Bible that read, give me your forgers, your ballot machine hackers, defeated narcissistic presidential candidates subverting democracy, illicit attorneys yearning for imprisonment. Uh-oh, I'm being taken issue with. Darlene in Connecticut says, wait, what nuts? These nuts? No, stop it. That's really old. He's got nuts. I say his little mushroom is in a vice. I can't wait to find out who the 30, there are 30 unindicted co-conspirators. You know Fonny's going after them too. You know it. Want to speculate who they are? Oh, speculate. At this point in time, I'm kind of just a pathetic little anti-fangirl, Darlene. Whoever the other 29 are, I'll be thrilled to pieces if one of the unindicted co-conspirators is Jin. You know, the human timeshare's spouse. Friend of Har Har and Lili. Who are the 19 indicted? Well, John Eastman. You'll recognize some of these names from a previous indictment. John Eastman, Kenneth Cheesebrough, Jeffrey Clark, Jenna Ellis, Ray Stallings-Smith, Squidney Powell, Robert Cheely, Michael Roman, the chair of the Georgia Republican Party, David Schaefer, the finance chairman of the Georgia Republican Party, Sean Still, those who harassed Ruby Freeman, namely, Stephen Clifgard Lee, Garrison Floyd, and Trevian Cuddy. Trevian Cuddy, by the way, one of the more interesting indictees in this matter, is a former publicist for... Oh, dear God. The goddess of irony was working overtime. Trevian Cuddy Cuddy? I don't know. She's a former publicist for R. Kelly. How'd that work out? And she's also associated with the, you know, the arter, the artist formerly known as Kanye West. Then there's the Coffee County gang, Misty Hampton, the former chair of the Coffee County GOP, Kathy Latham, Scott Hall, they all get a taste of the RICO statute. But then there's also solicitation charges, violation of oath of office, false statement charges. I found this one interesting. Impersonating a public officer, the conspiracy that goes with it, forgery, the conspiracy to commit the forgery, filing false documents, and forgery in the first degree itself. And it all stems from all the filthy lies. Then there's criminal attempt to commit influencing of witnesses and false statements in writings. Trump himself, violation of the Georgia RICO Act, solicitation of violation of oath of office by public officer, conspiracy to commit impersonating a public officer, conspiracy to commit forgery in the first degree, conspiracy to commit false statements and writings, conspiracy to commit filing false documents, conspiracy to commit forgery in the first degree, conspiracy to commit false statements in writing, and then there's counts 27, 28, and 29, filing false documents, solicitation, a violation of both by a public officer and false statements and writings. Then we get to counts 38 and 39, solicitation of violation of both by public officer and, again, false statements and writings. Imagine for a moment, well, before I get there, see, when you get an indictment like this, and your client is anyone but Nitwit Nero, what your lawyer does is walk into the room with you and say, okay, you're in trouble. If any of these are true, you're fucked. If all of them are true, you're fucked forever. Now, what we're going to do here is we're going to have a little conversation about what you'd be willing to plead guilty to.
I'll never plead guilty to anything. I always win. I win every time.
No, Donnie, now shut up. No, you don't. You've already been found civilly liable for rape, honey. But because of who they accepted as their client, they're kind of in a corner, and they have to defend every count. And, you know, with 19 defendants, I know Fonnie Willis said that she wants to try the whole case all together. But realistically, the odds of that happening are fairly slim. Because of the vicissitudes of ordinary human existence. One or two of them may croak between now and next February. They may wind up having to get separate counsel. Some of them may choose to testify against the big guy. like I said, it was kind of ironic that Annette and I were watching the final episode of The White House Plumbers last night. And Gordon Liddy swore that he would never, ever name names. That he would maintain omerta. I don't see a lot of these names on here feeling that degree of loyalty to Nitwit Nero. Because we're not at all, yeah, I mentioned the strawberries earlier, or as Clarence mentioned, his aching desire to use a word that isn't riggers. And some of these people who were willing to go to the mattresses for him, some of these people will eventually figure out that he will burn them to the ground. Right now, among other things, it's beginning to look like Squidney Powell is the most obvious target of...
It wasn't me, it was her. Everybody knew she was nuts. But we just kept her around because, well, we felt sorry for her.
Hey, thank you, Charlene, in Rogues Island. Thank you so very much. We are down to $14.75 now in hopes of paying the power bill this evening. That's big. $14.75 means... another $2.75, and we've only got 4 unfunded days to deal with. That would be, so what are we working on here? Let's see, Tuesday, Monday, Friday, Thursday. $2.75 gets last Wednesday fully funded. Thank you, Charlene. Thank you so very much for helping us along. Suman's already worrying. Election 2024, I'm a little worried that the nitwit might get a high turnout in the next election because the maggots are now fully riled up and the so-called independents may vote for him because Joe Biden is prosecuting political enemies. I just worry this might end up being good for this orange jackass. I understand, Suman. I really, really do. But there was a telling moment in the last 24 hours. For all of the security measures that Fulton County officials and state of Georgia officials took in advance of all of this, I don't think there was a single solitary, she said solitary, red maggot hat to be seen down there. And Georgia, well, Georgia turned kind of purple since 2016, 2018. I mean, they've still got a maggot majority legislature. There are still people, many, many, many people in Georgia, like other Confederate states, who think that he is the very epitome of the blessed return of Jefferson Davis. But he couldn't, he lost 2 Senate seats, and it's almost entirely on him. And then in 2022, he threw every bit of his support behind Walker, Texas Strangler, and lost. And his star may be dimming, Suman. May indeed be. Irish Dave saying, if he were elected and self-pardoned, would that constitute a high crime or misdemeanor? The whole self-pardoning argument on the federal level is enough to make your eyes cross. From where I stand, it really doesn't matter if it's a high crime or misdemeanor, because that's the language of impeachment. And we've seen that impeachment is a failed remedy because of the way that it is now treated, as opposed to what the framers, originalism, what the framers imagined it would be. And that's another little moment for us to ponder. Think about Moscow Mitch McConnell. There's a certain flavor of, for want of a nail, a shoe was lost in all of this. Perhaps not in the first indictment, but in the second, or impeachment, I should say. In the second impeachment, if Moscow Mitch would have done the right thing and voted to convict Nitwit Nero in the trial in the Senate, it would have constituted a significant signal to other members of his carcass that they were free to follow their conscience and not merely political expediency. In many ways, we are here right now in the midst of this seminal moment in American history because a man described as an institutionalist couldn't be bothered to uphold his oath to the Constitution of the United States. And one hopes that somehow or another that winds up on his tombstone when that day comes. If he had joined the Democrats and the other Republicans who voted to convict, we may very well have gotten the two-thirds necessary to run to remove him from office. And what's more important, ban him from ever holding public office again. But that wasn't part of Moscow Mitch's long game. No. Moscow Mitch is more interested in power and would just as gladly see the entire nation burn to the ground. No, I didn't hear about that, Ralph. Did you hear about Donnie not paying for Jenna Ellis's lawyer? News story, his PAC will not pay a penny to help Jenna Ellis. Yeah, no matter how good a friend she is with Jeebus. Empty Wheel over at Twitter, well, she's calling it things on the former site known as Twitter, Zeets, X-E-E-T. She quote tweeted, "Oh, that's not going to work." Now, let me pull this up on a different platform. This is good. I'm not just framed this Zeet. Hope to have a whole wall of Zeet from people discovering that with Trump, loyalty only goes one way. And it's a scum from John Cardillo. Just found out from very solid sources that Trump's PAC won't assist Jenna Ellis with one penny of legal fees because she's been complimentary and supportive of DeSantis. So you can spend nearly a decade being unwaveringly loyal to Trump, then get indicted because you worked for him, and he will abandon you and force you into bankruptcy if you change your mind about the best direction for the country. There's nothing remotely loyal or patriotic about that. He later pointed out, it's absolutely true, I've confirmed. And meanwhile, her bio, Jenna Ellis's bio over on Zeter, says, servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, I know. Jeremy offering up a plausible excuse for the maggots last night. It was 11:30 p.m. plus on the East Coast, Robin. All the ham and egger red hat morons are too poor to be out late. They have to go to work in their low-wage jobs to pay Trump's legal bills. Yeah, by buying Let's Go Brandon flags and the like. Lee, with another reference to loyalty to Trump. Trump wants to get it, but not give it. Anyone else expects to receive loyalty when they give it. Ask Michael Cohen about how loyalty to Trump worked out. What? Only Jin Jin? I'm just kind of focused on Jin Jin, Darlene. You're just going to have to forgive me. But yeah, I agree with you as to undicted co-conspirators. Darlene says, my list is a bit longer, like Lady G or Trader G. It's her home state, after all. And I'm running out of G's off the top right now, but you get where I'm going with this. Oh, yeah. And another thing I find interesting is that Fani Willis did not feel constrained to keep her allegations entirely within the territorial confines of the state of Georgia. That, in fact, she talked about the skullduggery in Michigan, Wisconsin, Arizona. Because it all goes part and parcel to pattern and practice and predicate events under the RICO statute. Georgia's RICO statute actually has more teeth than the federal one does, because there are more predicate offenses. That's how she was able to use the Georgia RICO statute to bust the test cheaters some years back. Well, lo and behold, John in Central PA said, dude, really? Okay, well, that's a generic dude. You're right, he's about to say the word. A tweet from, starts out from Rick Wilson, saying, between Judge Chutkan and Fani Willis, what's the over-under? Trump drops the N-word on Truth Social. And somebody responded with his tripe from earlier today. He's getting closer.
They only went after those that fought to find the riggers.
What do you want from a soak? Son of a Klansman. It's the whole stupid rattlesnake story all over again.
You knew I was a snake.
Originalism. Lou wants to know: shouldn't the Second Amendment only give a right to bear a brown vest musket? We'll save that one for another day, because I hope the Second Amendment does not become a salient issue to this matter. Sincerely, I do. Palmer Bob. Hey, Bob, you're listening live again. I'm glad to hear it. Jenna Ellis is better off without legal assistance from Nitwit Nero. Just ask Cassidy Hutchinson. As soon as she got her own lawyer, she got a lawyer who looked out for her interests, not Nero's. That's true. Somebody's going to have to pony up for it, though. There's no doubt about that. Well, hey, do we want to do a front porch? Do we have some interest in it? I'd love to hear some thoughts from around the community. Jack in Shreveport. Federal court move, if you haven't mentioned yet, I heard of a move to federal court would or could keep Trump from being on camera during the trial. That's possible. And I'm sure for all the time that he spent craving camera time, him sitting at counsel table shitting his pants is probably not his idea of his finest moment, and when he finally does go full Captain Queeg, I don't necessarily know that he wants people watching him sweat orange bullets on the stand. But as to the issue of televising the proceedings in federal court, those decisions are made by what's called the Judicial Conference. It's made up of federal judges from all levels, from the district court to the appellate court to, well, I think the Supreme Court representative to the Judicial Conference is old Balls and Strikes John Roberts. And I know they're stodgy, and I know they're hidebound. And it perhaps marks me as a hopeless optimist. Yeah, definitely a rather purist in terms of being a citizen of the Republic. But one would think that there could be a credible argument presented to the Judicial Conference saying, listen, I know the Supreme Court doesn't like cameras. I know the federal judiciary generally doesn't like cameras. But if these trials are not televised, it will be an assault by the federal judiciary on the right of the public to know. Because just as jurors are not expected to sit in a separate room and merely listen to testimony and not judge the credibility of the witnesses based upon their physical presence and their physical behavior, so too the American people must have that right. If you think back, for instance, to the presidential debates of 1960, the first televised presidential debates, there are those out there who say that in what was otherwise a very narrow election, John Kennedy won in part because he wasn't standing there under the blazing television lights, sweating bullets, while Richard Milhouse Pinhead Nixon, with 5 o'clock shadow that started at 5 a.m., was on camera and looked like something made of wax when the air conditioning goes out. The American people, apparently, judged Richard M. Nixon by his demeanor. The trial court judge will get to judge Nitwit Nero by his demeanor. The jurors will judge him by his demeanor. If this republic is to survive, the American people, too, must be able to judge him by his demeanor. Because impressionist, hasty sketches by an otherwise brilliantly talented courtroom sketch artist won't do the trick. It may be the most important such decision ever made by the Judicial Conference. Let me go ahead and do this now, just in case anybody does want to get into the conversation. See if we can pull together a little side porch Tuesday, Titanic porch Tuesday. Let's see, we had the D.C. indictment on Moran Monday. We're talking about the RICO indictment on Titanic Tuesday. This is all playing out according to a deliciously ironic plan by the goddess thereof. I'm waiting for the connection. My goodness gracious, time does fly, doesn't it? Brother Deacon Asa noting, Alaska Senator Ted Stevens has been gone 13 years, almost to the day. Bless his heart. Yeah, bless his heart. God love him. He can't help it. There we are. And we are, in fact, connected. And by the way, if you cannot figure, for the life of you, if you cannot figure out Skype, you are welcome to jump in via the stress line, 844-843-4676, and I'll bring you on that way. I promise I will. Because, again, on these broadly historic moments, I'd really like to hear a range of thoughts and opinions. So let's go over and check in. Hey, Roger, how are you?
Oh, I'm doing just fine, but we just got a phone call that our new van has 5,000 miles on it, was in the car hospital, and it's ready to be picked up. So I might have to bail for about 10 minutes to drive her over to the dealership so she can pick up the car. With an electric vehicle, you've got the place where you plug the cord in.
Right.
Well, that part of the car had a serious complication to where it wouldn't charge. And so they had to order a new part, and they finally got it in. And anyhow, theoretically, it's been fixed. So we might be taking it south with our little trip here, or we might take my pickup and save the figuring out whether or not it can charge now that it's been fixed to when we're still around town and not stranded 200 miles away from home.
Because that ladder would suck a lot, Roger.
Yeah. But anyhow.
Are you generally liking the EV?
Oh, yeah. It's great to drive, and at least it has air conditioning, and my pickup doesn't.
Ooh, that would be brutal.
Down south, we're going to be going through Grants Pass, and yesterday it was 112. So the idea of driving in 110, 112 degree weather with the windows rolled down to get whatever cooling we can get, I think it'd be wet towels draped over us to get any kind of reprieve from the
Yeah, that's one of those let's don't and say we didn't moments.
Yeah, well, the person that was telling me about this going from Washington down to Humboldt County, and they went through Grants Pass, it was 112, and they did the 70 or so miles over to the coast. When they got to Crescent City, it was 65. So we could avoid it by going over to the coast and then going all the way down the coast. But anyhow, that's enough of my problems. Trump's got a whole lot more. Does he have to show up? Does he have to show up in court every day?
He will have to be there every day of the trial. He will certainly have to be there for his initial appearance and his arraignment.
Well, I was thinking of the trial because you were commenting on that the jurors would be able to deal with his demeanor.
Yes.
And I was wondering if he absented himself from the trial and said his lawyers could represent him, he would be denying the jurors the ability to deal with his demeanor.
Precisely. And there is a constitutional antipathy toward trying cases in absentia.
Well, I can see a real problem with in absentia. I mean, if the government tried to keep me out of my trial, I would have a serious problem. But if the defendant chooses to absent themselves from the trial, oh, well, hey, jurors, he's so fucking guilty, he doesn't even want to be here. And
no, but see, the prosecution could never make that statement.
No, I know they couldn't make that statement, but the commentators on the evening news could. I mean, they're going to sequester the jury?
Yeah, well, I don't know what they'll do with it. I mean, this is going to be all of these. Remember, Jack Smith said the case in D.C. that he anticipated putting on the government's case in chief in over the course of 4 to 6 weeks. This is going to be brutal. And Nitwit Nero is going to go through that four times.
God, I'm glad I'm not paying his legal bills.
Who knows? He may have to hawk at his tacky golf motels. But
his jet.
But the lawyer, who'd buy it? It's a piece of crap. But the larger issue there is, and you know, I'm certainly not engaging in any witchcraft or anything like that. But if he were to suddenly have a stroke or make something up to try to, every sleazy thing a criminal defendant can do, every sleazy thing that is typically done by mob bosses is going to be in his toolkit.
Like coming in a wheelchair.
Yeah, with a blanket and drooling oatmeal, you know, the whole enchilada, as it were.
All right, here's another one to throw out in the mix. Assuming that the governor of Georgia plays the same game that DeSantis is doing in Florida and fires Fani Willis, which I believe he'll be able to do in about 4 to 6 weeks, is when that new law takes effect in Georgia. Would there be the possibility of the Department of Justice going after Kemp on a RICO charge, because he would have discussed it with somebody, all you have to do is find out who, on a RICO for obstruction of justice of a state court?
I'd say no. But I'd also say that I don't think Brian Kemp is not a maggot, at least not within the purest sense of the word. Brian Kemp has been maligned. Brian Kemp has been dragged through the mud. Brian Kemp has been threatened. And I think he knows that his political career would be over if he tried, assuming the Georgia legislature gives him that power, if he tried to take away, take the prosecution away from Fani Willis. his career would be dirt. Just dirt. And by the way, when it comes to Monkey Up Duplantis, it gives me no joy to say this, but it's not some made-up authority that the governor of Florida has. This is not something that came along simply because Ron Monkey Up Duplantis became governor. It is a matter of constitutional law in Florida because Florida invests tremendous powers in the governor, Democrat or Republican. And so,
well, I'm aware of that, but in Georgia.
But what I'm getting at is it's a constitutional provision. Whatever Georgia is up to, or whatever the Georgia maggots in the legislature might be up to, I don't think at this point in time it rises to touch or alter or amend the Georgia state constitution.
Well, my understanding was that the maggots in the Georgia legislature he did not have the power previously to fire an elected district attorney. But the Georgia legislature has given that power, and he signed the bill, but it doesn't take effect for a time period. It's not one of those bills that instantly he signed it and he had the power. There's a time delay factor. And I think the date that it becomes effective is in like 4 to 6 weeks.
Yeah, it's got an effective date of the legislation. But because that is a state statute and not a matter of the Georgia Constitution, if I understand correctly, it's also subject to appeal.
If she were to get fired, she could go to another judge and say,
she could run off to the federal court and complain of a U.S. constitutional violation.
I just find this just to be incredibly bizarre and bullshit. And if the Senate had done its due diligence on the first impeachment, we wouldn't even be here.
And God knows on the second.
And if Al Gore had won in that Bush v. Gore, this whole thing would be a movie that nobody would believe. It'd be a science fiction movie.
Well, that's why I said there are multiple instances of, for want of a nail, the shoe was lost in all of this. Some of this goes back to Nixon, Roger, and you have a better memory of that than do I. But the fact of the matter is, it goes back to Nixon, and then what happens is it actually goes back to Gerald Ford.
Yeah. Well, see, I pushed it all the way back to Lincoln.
Declaring, our long national nightmare is finally over.
Well, but see, he was just uttering Abraham Lincoln. When Abraham Lincoln let the South off.
With charity, with something's the vengeance toward none and with charity for all. Yeah, that was his 1864 inaugural, wasn't it? Which would have been March 1865, and he didn't even have a month left to live. Yeah. Yeah.
Now, I don't remember that in my own life. I'm not that old.
Quit that. Let me run over to the stress line because I don't want to forget that somebody's over there. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hey, it's Darlene from Connecticut, and I have a little bit of time because I'm actually ahead of schedule and just before I give Alfie his IV, but I wanted to weigh in and it was on something different, but Roger raises a really salient point about that removal potential. I know Midas Touchdown Popoc thinks it's, mentioned that, and I think he gave it a 6 to 8 week out time frame where they could, that law kicks in and she could be, Fannie Willis could be removed. Now, and I was wondering the same thing if the DOJ would be able to step in and cry foul on that and put forward a lawsuit. But I also think that, you know, she's had many months advance notice that they were attempting to do this. And it does seem to mirror what was done in Florida to that one particular prosecutor who had, like, you know, over 60% of her voting public's support, and a black woman. And he booted her right out, DeSantis did. But I would think that Fani Willis would have, she probably has a game plan in place for that if they attempt to do that, because she has an excellent prosecutorial staff under her. And my guess is that I would assume she's already got people lined up potentially to try to continue the case. And they, you know, unless, I'm assuming probably the legislature or the governor would be able to appoint her replacement, but I think her staff would raise hell.
I think the people of Fulton County, Georgia, would raise 17 shades.
Oh yeah, it would. It's not a good look at all. But it's a, you know, according to Popoc and Midas Touch, it's a real possibility. You know, that law is going to kick in. I think he said 6 to 8 weeks. So it's on the horizon. The reason I called in is I am fascinated by Fani Willis's 10-day turn yourself in offer.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned that because so far there have been rather kid gloves treatments for him, whether it be in Manhattan or Miami or D.C. It might be different in Georgia, Darlene. He might get printed and pictured and have inky little purple fingertips.
Well, that's what they're saying. That's what they're saying they're going to do. And it seems to, like, I was thinking about it. I was like, you know, maybe I don't know if this 10-day grace period is standard. It seems to me generous. But if it is standard, then I think this really benefits Fani Willis, because here she is not treating any of these defendants differently. But moreover, the more I think about it, it's like, you know, it's a brilliant move, because 10 days is an awful long time for Trump to create mischief and cause problems and threaten and cajole and witness tampering, and to threaten her, threaten witnesses, and so on, that gives her ammunition for when the arraignment occurs, for her to request that Trump be physically detained. Because according to Andrew Weissman on Nicole Wallace's show, he had cited a statute in Georgia where it is the burden of proof is on the defendant to prove that they're not that they're not a flight risk, that they're not a witness tampering risk, that they're not going to attempt to that they're not a threat to those who are prosecuting. So this will give her, I think, an opportunity to point to recent history in terms of his behavior, because you know he's going to fuck that shit up. You know, 10 ways to Sunday.
I think so. And I mean, just to pop in for a second here, I think the 10 days, I mean, if this was, you know, if this was some white collar criminal from Peachtree Street, it'd be like, nah, be here day after tomorrow. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yep, that's what I think.
But these are people who are coming from literally all over the country. So you have to take into account. You got to take into account the fact that they've got to book flights. that, and honestly, they've got money, but it's a little bit, it's at least merciful to let them book a week out and save a little on the fare. And for all we know,
I don't know if I would go that deep. But
I will. And Nitwit Nero may have the toilets pumped out in his tacky ass airplane. There's a little bit of logistics involved in putting something like that up in the air.
Right. I mean, I would just simply say, you know, she's allowing them time to get their affairs in order. But it also, you know, it also gives her, I think, an opportunity to see if anybody's going to flip or plea out or, help her make her case even stronger, which from what I saw last night, quickly going through that, massive indictment, it was 94 pages. She's got date, time, everything.
She's got the goods, darling.
Fairly well documented. She's got the goods. And so I'm thinking that this will offer her an opportunity to say, look, I've been, you know, he's threatened ABC and D, including me. He's blah, blah, blah. You know, I'm not sure about Judge McBurney. He seems like kind of a nice, lanky, goofy kind of guy. I don't know if he has the guts to incarcerate Trump or detain Trump, but there is speculation that Fani Willis is going to request that. And that would be, that'd be very interesting. And, you know, clearly he would be sprung from the hoose gal, you know, to whatever needs are up in D.C.
It may be necessary. See, I don't think she can like ask for him to be held on $50 million bail or anything like that.
No, she can ask for him to be detained, according to what Andrew Weissman said.
Yeah,
he can be detained.
Can and will are different, yeah. Or can and should are different animals, because she has got to absolutely make it abundantly clear that she is treating this defendant like she would treat any other indictee within the scope of
her. He's not any other kind of defendant, though.
But he has to be treated that way.
Then why is that statute in place?
What? But we also have to take into account that Trump has announced a press conference that he's going to be able to exonerate himself for next Monday.
Yeah,
and when
that's where he's going to scream rigor 100 times,
and that's where he's going to give Fani the data and cause to slap his ass in jail until the trial starts.
I think we're engaging in a little witchcraft here. Now, would we all love to see it? Yes, very much so. Thank you. But that said, there are a couple of other things to take into account. Roger, I saw you put in the chat there that he had already witness tampered with the former Assistant Secretary of State. And on its face,
Don't forget what he said about her.
Sure, but what I'm getting at here is that statement yesterday was written in such a way as to provide him weasel room. It's bait. He is trying to bait her into treating him harshly, because he is, if nothing else, the biggest professional baby victim maybe in the history of the world since Pompey, okay? But the other thing is, she is not constrained... Fani Willis is not. She's not constrained by conduct that he engages in the state of Georgia. She can take note of other conduct. She can take note of the tawdry things that he said about Judge Chutkan. She can take note of the tawdry things that he said about her. She can take note of the intimidatory nature of his very attempt to intimidate the Secretary of State into
finding the 11,000 what was it 11,780 votes. That's just one more than we need.
That in itself was a criminal act, and you know, if she wants to take the bait on what he said yesterday, she's free to. But she's far too good a lawyer, I think, to do that, because there is a colorable argument that can be made by his counsel that he was not saying that he shouldn't appear. He was making a moralistic determination on whether or not someone should testify falsely, because in his opinion it was false testimony.
Well, you would agree, right, that there's a certain strategy involved in all of this. Strategery, that's the word I'm looking for. Strategery involved in all of this. She's got the backing of a statute. If Andrew Weissman is correct, she can ask for that, and she may do it. I think she's going to go for it, and I think she's going to bank on the possibility, potentially likely, that Judge McBurney is going to temper it and say no. We'll put some things in place, guardrails in place, and if he violates those guardrails, we'll be back in court. But what it succeeds in doing is it is a shot across his bow that she means business, and he's scared of her anyway, and that she's tough, and that if the guardrails don't work, which they won't, now she can come back in with a much stronger request. On the flip side, she may want to play at what Jack Smith is doing, and Jack Smith wants him out and tracing around and mouthing off, because it just strengthens his cases. But I'm really wondering if she's going to go for it. Because she, when you look at this, this indictment is unbelievable. I mean, I'm 94 pages and my eyes are spinning back up into the back of my head, because I'm like, this is a complex, you know, it's like, how do you really present this? She's an expert at it, because she's done the RICO statute kind of cases before, but this is impressive. And the way she pulled it all together, the way she and her team have pulled it all together, it's like, holy crap. It really lays out how this was a conspiracy. It's extremely impressive. So I'm very, very curious to see if she's going to push the envelope on detaining him.
A slight change of subject here, Darlene, but I caught a thing on MSNBC last night from a RICO-type attorney that was, it will be presented as chapters. So here is a chapter that deals with the election machines over in Fayette County. That county where they took the machines and convinced somebody to do it. And
Coffee
here's
County.
A chapter, Coffee County. And here's a chapter on the fake electors. And here's a chapter on the other thing. And so the entire prosecution will be laid out in chapters, but they're all in the same big book. And so each of these chapters will be presented with, okay, they did this over in Coffee County, but we're going to bring this back in over here on the fake elector side, but keep this in mind for the election machines. And then there'll be the fake elector chapter. And that fake elector chapter will have tentacles that go out to other chapters. And that will be the overall strategy of presenting the prosecution. And that made tremendous amount of sense to me in tying this super big thing together in segments that a jury and the public, if they televise the trial, will be able to understand. In much the same way the January 6th committee, when they did their televised hearings, they were compartmentalized into bits and pieces.
Yeah, I like that because it's a story, and this is consistent with how she wrote, how she and her team wrote this. I don't want to leave them out because they're obviously, she couldn't do this all on her own. She recognized her team. It is a speaking indictment, so she will present it like a story. So that makes sense to me. I do have a question. I'm wondering if you and Robin and anyone else on the porch, if you see her and her team's indictment as complementary to what Jack Smith is doing in D.C.
Oh, I think so. I absolutely think so because, there are... the speaking indictment in D.C. talks about the attempts to overturn Georgia, and this is going to be a direct proof of exactly what happened in Georgia. So
yeah,
whoever gets the first bite of that apple may very well wind up establishing a degree of res judicata for whoever comes in second.
Well, I don't know if Roger agrees that it's complimentary. I think it is, and she had indicated she wanted in the Q&A, the brief Q&A, she wanted to go to trial in 6 months. So that more or less coincides, or maybe is like a month after what Jack Smith wants with the D.C. trial. He said in January. So what's interesting to me is Mark Meadows, because speculation is that Jack Smith utilized Mark Meadows, that Mark Meadows is a cooperating witness. I don't think she'd ask for the detention of Mark Meadows because he doesn't, he's quiet, he's not a threat. But it would be interesting to see how the two of them may be forced to work together, because even though Midas touched Pocock and said that he was 100% convinced that Jack Smith and Fani Willis were working together, cooperating or talking to one another at minimum, his counterpart there, Karen Friedman at Gniflo, who worked with Jack Smith and the Manhattan DA, second in command, she said there's no way that Jack Smith and Fani Willis are even talking. There's just absolutely no way that would happen. Fani Willis, I thought, said, had an interesting comment in that she said, first of all, Jack Smith would not
even know how to pronounce my name. Yes.
Right, so that was a great singer, and then she said it, and if I were in a room with him, I wouldn't recognize him. So, but I think they may have to communicate, vis-a-vis Mark Meadows, potentially. I don't know if anyone
just to back up a hair, Darlene, and let me, we've reached the end of the second hour of the program. If we could raise $275 more bucks, this isn't directed at you, Darlene, it's just general. If we could raise $275 more bucks, I got a much more solid fighting chance of paying the power bill this evening. And I'm sorry we live from hand to mouth.
I know it's not directed at me, but I'll make a $75 challenge because I gave in $25, so towards $100, I'll make a $75 challenge to help you.
Golly, darling, that's wonderful.
I'm in a generous mood. I'm doing everything today.
Well,
you know how much money I've spent tonight.
Well, and even as I was speaking, we got down to $1,465, because Jeremy in Yale New Haven County just jumped in. Thank you, Jeremy.
Okay. Thank you.
And I mean, is that your? I mean, that would be Yale New Haven County.
Yeah.
Is that Connecticut?
No. Yeah. I'm Well, Yale is in New Haven. Why do I think that's Fairfield County? Probably.
Okay.
Like,
well,
Yale,
I mean, I didn't know if it was Yale County near Dardanelles in Yale County, Arkansas. I mean, it's.
Yeah, Barron Haven County in Connecticut? I don't know. I know there's a Fairfield County.
Well, but thank you. Thank you, Jeremy. Thank you, Darlene. So if somebody will jump in with $75 or some combination thereof, that will get us down. We're trying to get down to having last Thursday fully funded. So that's $265 for last Thursday. And that would help immensely. Thank you, Darlene. What I wanted to say is, you know, just to back up for a second here, those trial dates that they both say they want, Jack Smith and Fonnie Willis, neither one of those are going to happen. Just don't see it. They're within due process of trial court stratagems. The prosecution is going to try to set up as early a trial date as possible, and then it will start getting pushed back. I mean, realistically, I mean, we joke about him being wheeled in with a plaid blanket and dribbling oatmeal out of his mouth. Anything is possible. And he does not want to be tried, okay? This is all a delaying tactic. So I think it's and then, you know, every time he gets a delay, he'll complain, well, this is keeping me from being able to campaign. And, you know, Judge Chutkan has already addressed that issue. Your campaign schedule is not going to drive this court's docket. But it's also the fact that there are so damned many co-defendants. It's almost unreasonable to think that even the little pissants down low, that they're even going to be able to get their shit together. Who knows who's paying those legal bills? But, you know, John Eastman, Giuliani, Jenna Ellis, Squidney Powell, and if I had any sympathy at all, and I do not, this is going to be such an absolute scorched earth war against Squidney Powell, and everybody's going to blame her. She did it. She's the dipshit. Because apparently there is some evidence that Nitwit Nero said she's an idiot.
Well, I can't gainsay anything you said there. I really can't, because there's going to be tremendous infighting. I mean, already, if they're not going to help Jenna Ellis out, then, you know, she can threaten to start talking. But, yeah, and plus, they're all maggots, right?
Yeah.
Republican, like, whatever, Republican, former Republican, whatever. They are very adept at turning on each other. So, which is going to be lovely to see. But you're probably right. This is probably a case that is going to take years. But I find it interesting how serious she was in her statement last night, that she wanted to move this along quickly, like Jack Smith said he wanted to move things along quickly. And she wanted this tried in within 6 months. And it does send a signal they're ready to go. So, I mean, they've been living and breathing this case, you know, the grand jury investigation, everything for years, right? For at least a year or more. So they're raring to go. I can't wait to see. I think I'm more excited about seeing how this unfolds because of its complexity than even.
And that's another thing. RICO prosecutions are not in, out, done. They are intricate prosecutions.
She must know.
Of course she does. She's an expert with this statute, but it does require a great deal of perspicacity on the part of the jury.
Oh, good word.
Thank you.
Well,
and I need to say thank you. Jeremy says, Yale is omnipresent and growing in Yale, New Haven County. Here's 10 more for the electric bill, Darlene's challenge. So thank you so much, Jeremy. Thank you.
Oh, wow. Thanks, Jeremy. Well, there is a New Haven County.
Yale is omnipresent. Yeah. Yale's omnipresent. So we got $65 to go on your challenge. Thank you, Jeremy, for listening in. And look, I'm going to be a little bit shameless here for a second, if you don't mind. With the announcement of the D.C. indictment and with the announcement of this one, I think we're doing as good or better analysis here than just about anybody anywhere else. I really and for truly do, especially given that we're all lay folks, with a couple of exceptions, and some of us have been to law school. But I think we're doing a really good job of laying this out in plain English so that it's an accessible discussion, whereas, you know, you can't necessarily yell a question at Barbara McQuaid on MSNBC, and that's no shade on her. The legal experts at MSNBC are rock solid, but if something they say is not abundantly clear, there's no way of trying to make it clearer, and that opportunity does exist here. So everything that we can do to keep this thing going is, I don't want to say public service, but yeah, this is non-commercial. You know, we're not going to break away from this discussion to sell you a novel medication to keep your nose from mysteriously sliding off. There, you know.
Do you and Roger agree, and whoever else is listening and participating on the porch Wednesday on the front porch? Which the weather is miserable today. Oh my God! I don't know if you're finding that down in West Virginia, but does everyone agree that she is going to go after the 30 unindicted co-conspirators? That was another thing that, like, raised my eyebrows.
Yeah, I mean, first of all, you can't help but wonder who they are. And second of all...
I was waiting for Lindsay.
Well, by the way, Lindsay's already thrown a hissy. He was not willing to go down the road of the election, the 2020 election was stolen, but he said, you know, you all just shouldn't do this because, you know what, payback is a bitch, and there's going to be Trump flavored prosecutors in other states, and they're going to want to start indicting Democrats. Well, that's on them. Fannie Willis has a job to do. He broke the damn law. This is a nation of laws and not of persons. And if it rains, we won't play baseball, okay? Meanwhile, what you mentioned earlier has already started happening. They are pointing fingers at each other. And Steve just sent a note in, and I'm inclined to agree with him to a certain extent here. The six-month time frame for the trials, Steve said, I wonder if the 6 months is less about a trial date than it is about getting people to flip by tightening the vise. I think it absolutely is.
Yeah, I think
if you're one of those 30 unindicted co-conspirators, you can be an indicted co-conspirator pretty darn quick. Because remember, it's not like she presented a bunch of indictments and the grand jury returned no true bills on 30 people. No, those are 30 people she's holding in her hip pocket.
Exactly, which is, you know, even though I would love to see it happen in 6 months, I think she is so precise that whatever she stated, whatever's in that indictment, whatever she stated, you know, last night, when she got up there and spoke at the podium, I think everything she said means something. She would not have said it. She would not have said, well, we're ready to go. We want to try this in 6 months. Even though I would agree. I can't gainsay that. It's totally, she probably totally 100% knows that's aspirational. She wouldn't have said it unless there is a reason behind it, that there is a strategy behind it. So I would agree.
The other thing is with the finger pointing at Squidney Powell, counsel for Bernie Kerik, who is not an unindicted co-conspirator, his lawyer is Tim Parlatori. And what occurred to me is that I think there will probably be a significant amount of case law come out of all of this as to what constitutes an unacceptable conflict of interest. How can a guy who had confidential communications with Donald Trump, who quit Donald Trump's defense team, suddenly sign on with Bernie Kerik and maintain some sort of Chinese wall, cone of silence, whatever, and not use what he knew through the representation of Trump to represent Parlatori? At some point, those interests almost have to diverge, don't they?
They have to conflict, right? Yeah. Yes.
And Steve just asked, unindicted co-conspirator, how is Cleta Mitchell not caught up in this?
30 of them. I mean, that's a lot. That is how massive this is.
At this point, this is the Iraq War deck of playing cards, isn't it?
God, yeah. Can I ask another?
You can ask anything you want.
Really?
It's a regular joint.
All right. And I don't know if Roger had stepped out, as he said he may have to step out. All right. But this is a deep dive. This is something I've been thinking about, wanted to ask. Not that long ago, Jamie Raskin brought up how his position that the Electoral College is anti-democratic. You know, and you've talked on your program about how...
No, I'm blue in the face, yes.
You know, how anachronistic, and it is. It's a disgusting, anachronistic, anti-democratic thing. I mean, you know, I mean... We don't, you know, really and truly, I mean, if you think about it, you know, Trump and his efforts to essentially nullify my vote, I mean, forget that, there's the Electoral College. But conversely and this is what troubles me, all the prosecutions, the lawsuits, everything that's converging now, I fear... is further solidifying the legitimacy of the Electoral College to such a degree that any hope of rooting that out is probably another 300 years into the future. So I wanted to throw that out there, get your opinion on it. I'm just being negative on it, but you know that the attempt to put in fake electors, the attempt to do all of that and charging him on that, to me, explicitly, more or less, fortifies, you know, the so-called legitimacy of that unfortunate aspect of our election system. I'd love to get some pushback. I'd love to get opinions on that. That's something that's been roiling around in my head. Maybe I am missing the boat on that. Maybe I'm worrying for nothing, but wanted to see if anyone, I know you've thought of this, Robin. I know you've picked up on this. So what do people think about that?
I've been going on for a bit, but there are other people in the chat room. Let's see if anybody else wants to jump in. Anybody? Bueller? No? Okay.
Roger, nobody has an opinion on that? Does anybody have an opinion on that? I mean, am I wrong? Am I wrong in what I'm thinking? I mean, I just, you know, looking for a friend.
I don't think you're wrong.
Wrong. Okay, that's good.
No, I think
have to.
Yeah, I mean, it feels that way.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's sort of like there's always a catch point in a democracy. Well, aspirational democracy, we're constitutional democracy. We are some sort of a democracy, but it's a question of, you know, how much and what degree we are. But I kind of feel like it's inadvertently legitimizing the Electoral College, which really is kind of the only, outside of 100% like outright cheating and lying and stealing elections, really, that is, you know, I mean, the last time, you know, how many times, what, four times the Electoral College has trumped, pardon the expression, the popular vote, it's all inured to the benefit of Republicans. And when you Jamie Rask and a constitutional scholar say, you know, this is not good for this country being a democracy. This is not, it's not democratic. You've said it, you know, the anachronism, the racism, everything that this is embedded to give the southern states power they, I don't think they deserve or ever deserved. You know, in a sense, these cases, these prosecutions, I think are further bolstering, you know, the Electoral College being here to stay ad infinitum. And that's kind of where my mind is going. And, it's to me, as gleeful as I am that this is happening, you know, it's a joke. That is a deep concern. Well, it's depressing.
Well, I mean, yeah.
No, you don't have to bring it. I mean, mull it over, think about it, but I just, that's kind of something that's been sort of percolating in my head about this. We have to do what we have to do, but it's interesting how sometimes we set our own traps inadvertently. I'll get off because I think somebody else was trying to get in on the line.
No. I mean that's you don't have to hurry away because no one was. I would have seen it because quite often when people do try to get
working for a few minutes there when you ask if someone else want to talk. I just have something quick and then you can get back to the Electoral College stuff. I don't know if everyone remembers, about 6 months
ago. What am I doing wrong?
There was that female juror in Georgia who came out and spoke to the press, and she said very clearly and equivocally, she said, this case is so large that when the American people get it, they won't beat each other's throats anymore. She said that. We knew this was coming. We didn't expect 30 people being indicted or unindicted co-conspirators, But I'm willing to bet everyone you can think of is in that list. Lindsey Graham, Ted Cruz, you name it. They're one of those 30 people.
I agree, Jeremy.
If Bernie doesn't play, he's a serious judge. He will fuck Trump up. He's not a nice guy.
I hope you're right.
I'm quite positive about this. There's a guy we talk to every night who has a friend inside the court circuit, and he knows a lot of these judges. And he said McBurney doesn't play, and D.C. doesn't play. He's expecting Trump's head to roll for what happened so far already with the D.C. case with Trump running his mouth.
Oh, wait. I just got to notice that. Oh, dear. We buffered up and shut all the way down. Okay. We're back. Thank you, Steve in New York, for letting me know. I appreciate it.
So I don't know, Jeremy, repeat what you said. If you could talk a little louder, it sounds very distant, but I'd love, maybe you got cut off with the buffering, but can you repeat that?
Yeah, McBurney doesn't play. He's a serious judge. He's going to mess Trump's world up. He's just like the D.C. people. He's very serious. And one of the people I talk to on a daily basis has an insight to a lot of these court systems, districts and state court systems. And everything he's saying is these two cases are going to hurt Trump tremendously. They're both rock solid, especially a D.C. case. Trump really has no outs. And right now, if you do his counts, he's up over 114 felony counts right now. If even one of those hits, most of them are 5 to 10 year bids. He's not going to get 114 counts. There's no way. It will not happen.
And what did you say about the lady, that odd lady that spoke several months ago? That was the jury, the head of the jury.
Yeah, she was part of the grand jury about 6 months ago, early this spring. She came out, talked to the press for a few minutes. This is the one that they made a big stink about. And debated, could she do it? And they said it's within her right to talk whatever she wants. It doesn't mention actual names. She said this case is so huge that if the American public saw it, they wouldn't be to their throats. It's so cut and dry and clear what happened.
And I suspect she was probably correct, but she was failing to take into account the... Oh, what's the psychological term I'm looking for? Where the cognitive dissonance. If Nitwit Nero was right, you know, he could be videoed shooting somebody in the middle of Fifth Avenue and not lose a vote, and he's counted on that. So, you know, there's going to be 33% of the country that thinks that he's being treated worse than the Romans treated Jesus Christ.
I got a call coming. I'll have to come back to this.
They would be that way under any circumstance. But people who, and it kind of goes back to what Suman was worrying about in his email at the beginning of the program, that this will somehow provide him momentum. Well, he will fundraise a filthy ton of money off of it. But at the end of the day, he can't use the money to buy the jury.
Yeah, I think, this is Kevin. Can I weigh in on a second?
Yeah, go ahead, Kevin.
Hey, good evening, everybody. I think the facts as they come out, like with this case being so big and so wide and then so cut and dry the way that it was put together, everybody doing everything to make it happen, you know, the secret meeting that the lady stumbled in on, the state rep, was it a state rep or something for this, the electors and all that. Anyway, all that's just going to weigh heavily as the facts come out. And I think the people in this country, that along with the D.C. and I'm not even thinking about the Florida one, you know, the documents. I think that's going to be just like, you know, she can have all her fun down there in Florida, that judge. And I mean, whatever. They're not going to need that case. But, you know, let's.
But the thing is, Kevin, that's the easiest case.
I know it's the easiest case, but, you know, she's pulling her stuff there. Hopefully the 11th Circle will come in and just say, you know what, it's over, you know, like Don Rickles, it's over.
And the thing is, she's already screwed up a couple of other cases that were just howlingly obvious fuck-ups.
Yeah. I mean, she's pathetic. I mean, she has no business even being on. I mean, well, we've gone through all this already, but.
Yeah.
Anyway, I think as the facts come out. Go ahead, darling.
Well, I agree with you, Kevin. I think as the facts come out, I think people are going to be like, enough is enough. And the reason I say that is because there's that Federalist, those Federalist scholars in that yet unpublished opinion. Concerning what is it, the 14th Amendment? Is that that it should be automatic? That yep. Trump should be disqualified automatically? You don't need to prove anything. It's an originalist, textualist interpretation that they supposedly have been working on for about a year or what have you. And I think Robin, you had said this as well. That they're throwing that out there because they know they're going to lose with Trump. And that Joe Biden's basically going to beat him like a drum again. So it benefits us for him to run. and they're basically saying, and the Koch brothers, I guess they're also now running ads, basically saying that as long as Trump runs, we're not going to be able to win. Democrats will retain the office of the president and presidency, and also will get the House and the Senate. You know, this kind of the fear mongering. So I am not so sure. I think people are exhausted. I mean, I was exhausted when he was squatting in the White House and aspirating as president. Which seems like an eternity ago, but it really wasn't. I know I don't want to go back to that. And it seems like he's losing more and more on the other side. He's got his core. You're not going to get rid of those. But it's not enough for him to win.
Well, let's hope that No Labels loses momentum, you know. They got a lot of money. They got a lot of money behind them, you know, the dark money there.
Kevin, we can call it dark money. It's Trump money.
Yeah.
It's Trump money. They are a Trump joint, so to speak. And I...
there's nothing you can do.
Yeah, well, I get so, you know, we all get so sick of talking about Nitwit Nero, but... Pity poor me. I like going a day or two without thinking about Joe to the Mansion Born too. And when I think about him being a potential rat fucker, and rat fucking runs deep in the Mansion family, as I've explained on too many times to count. It's just, oh God, it's nauseating. It's just nauseating.
So,
yeah, it is. And I've seen some burblings out of them that said if there was a chance that Trump would be reelected, that they would not get on the. But I don't. It's Joe Manchin, okay. And I would not trust Joe Manchin, as I have said on numerous occasions, with the carcass of a runover skunk. He'd try to sell it some coal or you know, get a federal grant for it. But another thing I also wanted to mention, and I have some big, 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 big thanks going out to Mark. Thank you very, very kindly, Mark. Mark finished off your challenge, Darlene.
Thanks, Mark.
and basically took care of, finished off last Thursday.
Wow.
So we are down to we're down to $1,200 to go. And if we can keep that ball rolling, we've got a fighting chance for finishing August. So basically we're talking about wait, I'm so screwed. We finished Wednesday. We finished Wednesday because yeah, it's Thursday, Friday, Monday, and today that we're dealing with. So we finished Wednesday. I apologize for misspeaking. But thank you. Thank you, Mark, so very much for helping out. Pretty close to being able to pay the stupid power bill. And by the way, Darlene, you got a note from Baltimore Bob, subject line Electoral College. Darlene, I don't think it'll take 300 years for the Electoral College to go under. It may only take 30. I'm referring to demographic changes that can change the electoral map. The National Popular Vote Interstate Compact does not need too many more states to agree to decide to vote for whichever candidate gets the most popular votes. When the electoral votes from these states reach 270, the Electoral College goes bye-bye. The current total is 205, so they need 65 more electoral votes. And I'm all for the Interstate Compact, but, and I suspect y'all know where I'm going anyway. With our most puissant, dread sovereign, supreme Catholic majesties, anything that does not eliminate the Electoral College by constitutional amendment is subject to being ruled by the courts as unconstitutional. Am I wrong?
Well, I mean, I wish the 30-year time frame, I would love that. But I'm kind of basing it on past history. And, you know, like you said, there's SCOTUS plaguing us like it usually does throughout history, like it usually has. But, I mean, was it Madison or Adams or one of them regretted the Electoral College and said it was a huge mistake?
I know that by late in life, Madison was saying that we have got to have an expansion of the franchise beyond property owning white men. And by that he meant that the franchise should be expanded to non property owning white men.
I thought one of them was kind of dissing and downing on the EC, but okay.
No, I think somebody did. I feel fairly certain it was Andrew Jackson who hated the Electoral College.
And you know, look at where we're at today, and this country is so slow to move on these things.
But it was designed that way, Darlene.
It was designed that way. Yeah, but I'm like, you know, I don't know. The design that way, to me, you know, would suggest that 30 years, that to me is more palatable than say, you know, 300, 200 years. Of course, you know, where there's a will, there's a way. A major right was stripped of, you know, half the population in less than 50 years, in 50 years.
Well, I forget. I forget where it was. You're right. I forget where it was, but I heard that it was probably MSNBC because it's just about the closest thing to anything reliable that I can find on cable news. But I heard someone talking, and I can't recall if it was an anchor or a commentator. But someone used a phrase that just gave me the fantods. And they said something about the case, and it was before the indictment came down in Fulton County. They said something about the case moving with deliberate speed. At which point I went, because that phrase just fills me with dread, because we all know where it comes from. It comes from Brown versus Board of Education. And the all deliberate speed language,
which
was
all deliberate speed.
Yeah, all deliberate speed, which means all slow speed. I do not want deliberate speed in these cases. I want speed. Gosh, I hope no one ever cuts that out. Liberal talker says she wants speed. What?
Out of context.
But I was kind of surprised to hear that phrase used. Just wow.
Well, it might be a misuse.
I hope so.
It might be a misuse. So, all right. Well, I just wanted to weigh in.
I'm so glad you did.
Well, last night was such a historic thing. I mean, I stayed up, you know, to waiting for the news to break and watching it on my iPad, and you know, and then of course when it dropped, the indictment dropped. Of course, I had to wait till wait for Fannie Willis to step up to the podium, and I thought she was hilarious. When she said all of the named defendants are presumed innocent, and then she immediately launched into naming all of them. I just thought that was epic. You know, serious, very serious.
She's got the receipts and she's bringing them in her, she's bringing them in her pocketbook, and she's ready to swing it.
Well, like I said, I'm very interested to see what she does. Yeah.
We have a new name in the chat room who raised a hand. Anastasia Breverhausen?
Yep,
I'll sign off. Thanks.
Okay. Darlene, have a great night.
You too. I'll be listening. Thanks. Bye,
okay.
Folks.
Bye. Roger, I only see a portion of the screen.
I've said we have a new name in the chat room that I don't recognize.
Oh.
Anastasia Breverhausen, and she, I guess it's a she, raised her hand and then took her hand down, but it's a new name in the chat room.
Yes.
Or in the call.
Oh, okay. I was wondering where to look.
Participants, top of the list on my screen. Anastasia, are you there? Microphone is not muted.
I see Steve Pepinger up there.
Yeah, Steve's here. Well, Anastasia, if you want to jump in, feel free. In the meantime, Steve, how's it going?
Can you hear me?
Now I do. That was a sigh.
Can you hear me?
Yes. Yes, we hear
okay,
you.
No, I'm Anastasia Breverhausen.
Oh, okay. Okay. Jesus, Steve.
No, it's from Will and Grace.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. It took me a minute.
Okay. And you can't recognize whose picture that is?
Well, I didn't see a name associated with the photographs. I see the Reds logo. I mean, that's you. Nobody but you.
Oh, you still see that one? You still okay? Because I changed it to Merrick Garland. I feel like I'm the only person. I actually think he's done a fantastic job.
He tasks me. I mean you, not Merrick Garland.
No, I understand. I know.
Changing
and I was
your avatar and shit like that.
Yeah. I was hoping to chime in when Darlene was here, because I actually think the implications for the Electoral College are the exact opposite. I mean, we wouldn't be here if there were no Electoral College. There would be no fake elector schemes. We would know the popular vote. And I don't think we'd be here.
And Hillary Clinton would be president, and the Supreme Court wouldn't be right wing assholes.
And Al Gore would have been president, and we probably wouldn't have been going. Okay, anyway. But
I found it interesting that Hillary agreed to come on TV last night.
Oh, of course. She's all about stoking the stroke.
Well, her appearance with Rachel Maddow last night was booked at least a week ago.
Okay.
And was being promoted.
Well, but I don't think it's a coincidence that it was booked during the week when they thought the indictment was coming down.
Well, no, Rachel's a smart lady.
I'll take your word for it.
Now.
Yeah, I just, you know what?
Saucer of milk for table two.
Yeah, I don't like any of them. You know how I am.
Yes.
On another note, I've had a complete rethink on just how, and I'm talking structurally here, just how democratic the U.S. is versus a lot of other countries. And to be honest with you, I think we probably, and I'm saying structurally, which means the structure of the government.
Right. I guess.
Is more democratic than most countries in the world. You'd be hard pressed to find any country that remotely, or first of all, you'd be hard pressed to find any country, particularly, I mean, in the newer democracies like in Central and South America, popularly elect the head of government, but I don't know any European countries that do. Canada doesn't. So I think, frankly, we are one of the more democratic, again, structurally in the world. Putting aside the fact that money has become way too involved in our political system / the way we make decisions. But, you know, as a structure, we're far more democratic than I think I would say almost any European country. Certainly the UK, certainly Canada. But that aside, I think that this could look, the problem is the Electoral College it's one of those esoteric things that, you know, Joan and John Q. Public kind of look at like, okay, you know, I think it's not something that people are going to get really revved up about. And given what I just said, I'm not as concerned about it as I used to be. I mean, I would like to see a popularly elected head of government and head of state, but it's so rare in the world anyway that I think it's more important to have a popularly elected legislature. I think my preference would be to have
where'd you go? Anastasia.
Yes. Popularly elected. So, yeah. I feel like I put everybody to sleep.
No, you're fine.
Okay. But I think this could actually be a cat. I mean, if you had to choose whether it was a catalyst or not a catalyst for moving away from the Electoral College, I think this is more, I would err more on the side of this is a catalyst to move away from it than not.
Say that again. Steve?
Excuse me. Hello?
Yeah, I said, say that again.
Okay. I think this, how do I, okay, I gotta phrase it right. Whether or not what happened here will push the country in a no electoral college versus keep the electoral college direction, I think this is more likely to push in favor of eliminating it, because all this fake elector stuff would never have existed.
Precisely.
But I think that's
the system in which this massive criminal enterprise unfolded. So it has to be, you know, it has to be dealt with that way.
No, I understand that. What Darlene made the. She made the comment that she thought this would set back, or this would be a thing to keep it around for longer.
That it would legitimize it.
Yeah, I think it's the exact opposite, because I think if you look at this, wouldn't have happened were there an electoral college. You know, if it were purely a popular vote, it's very difficult to rig an election when it's just a popular vote, and those number of votes are. You know, what was 160 million people?
Yeah, and out of 5 million votes, I think, in Georgia, the margin was
11,769. That's why we need 11,779. That's why we need 11,780. Just one more.
Right.
Just one more.
Right. Right. So, by the way,
just because I'm a nerd.
You?
Yes. Amazing. Okay. I know.
I'm waiting for Rome to somehow be involved here.
Oh, shut up.
Well, that's a compliment. No, I don't understand. That's a compliment.
No. Beginning last night with the release of the indictment, because this is a RICO case, a word has been, well, two words, the and the word, have been used repeatedly today. Because Fonnie Willis uses it in the indictment. And I have... it's probably because I didn't get a lot of sleep last night. But I've done a double take every time I've heard somebody say something about, I'm just kind of making it up as I go along now, but the criminality of the enterprise. And I'm like, it's a shitty thing for you to say about a noble ship.
They've
danced up to the line of the Prime Directive a few times, but it was all in the interest of science and civilization and strange new worlds and all that shit. It must have happened at least 10 times today, because I've had some kind of media going at all times just in case, I don't know, Nitwit Nero spontaneously combusted or something. God, what a mess that would be. Nothing that disgusting's been seen since Monty Python produced The Meaning of Life and The Guy at the Dinner Table. Just one more thin mint, sir. It's wafer thin.
Give it to me.
You know what would be great? I would love to see somebody say, with a straight face, well, this criminality of the enterprise, it really presents us with a serious Kobayashi Maru. And have the looks on people's faces like,
yeah. This is one of those enterprises where Nitwit Nero finds himself dealing with the Kobayashi Maru.
And the look on people's faces like,
yeah, we're all getting a cowbell for that one.
What the fuck is she talking about? And you sit there. I can see you sitting there.
What?
Right there in that big table on CNN. And you just said what you said. And then you bring in that, you know, it presents a possible Kobayashi Maru. and everyone, and you just continue to talk, and you keep your straight
face.
Well,
I mean, I am after all the same girl who looked at a law partner named Michael McDonald who asked me where I saw myself in the next 5 years back in law school, and I said, I don't know, Michael McDonald. I've just got such a long way to go. Such a long way to go.
Oh, my God. That's awfully close to a llama.
Oh, so proud.
That's awfully close.
That was the summer so I spent wallpapering my apartment in rejection letters, you know, from, like, coal company defense firms and people I didn't want to work for.
Uh-huh.
Such a long way to go.
But, and, you know, it's, my dad asked me a question if he thought that these various prosecutors waited until now to bring these cases because of the because they would be going on during the election. And I said, first of all, I hope not. I hope not, because that would be a bad thing. But the other thing, too, is, no, I don't think that's the case. And number three, I'm happy as a pig in shit that they are going to be going on during the primary and the election, because it's going to be something that's not going to make it's going to be in everyone's face. And I heard, and you probably heard this, I heard this on, I think it was when Joe and Mika were still there, where there was somebody remarked about Georgia, and they alluded to 2020 and 2022 of how much Raffensperger and, who's the governor there?
Brian Kemp.
Kemp. How much they cleaned up in the election, but Trump was in the shitter. And they went, what the person basically said it. Oh, no, I think Joe said this. Joe said this, that he had talked to people there and they were just tired. They're, you know, these suburban, even, you know, suburban Republicans.
Yeah, exhausted.
They're tired. They're exhausted of it. You're talking about
Filthy Morning Habit today?
Yeah.
What he said is, you know, those suburban Republicans in Atlanta are never going to vote for Joe Biden, but they're damn sure not going to vote for Donald Trump.
And then eventually
he said they'll just sit it out.
Yeah, sit it out.
I don't know that I believe that. I just don't. By the way, I had a note from Jude in the Great Northwest. Always there's insight provided, she said, when you engage with community. And tonight, as I just got home from work, and hear my sister Darlene on with you, donating a small amount, Jude says, sending forth the flow to continue. Remember, your monetary needs are always met. And now with Steve, and there's been another voice engaging. I find it special too, Jude. I mean, this is how we stay so far out in front of the curve that we're like on straight road, because of the, I don't know, for lack of a better term, the hive mind. And thank you, Jude. And Tom and Sunny San Rafael. Oh, some days I'm going to learn not to walk into these. Spontaneous combustion, but grease fires, Tom says, are very hard to extinguish. Yes, they are. And it would be, wouldn't it? It would, if he spontaneously combusted, it would be a grease fire.
By the way, I think Jerry had his hand up.
Oh, Scary Jerry. Haven't heard from you, buddy. How are you?
He put it down. Maybe he had to step out for a sec.
All right. And Alien Jimmy was in for a little bit, too, and I'm sorry we didn't hear from you. As to conflicts of interest, what I said earlier about there will be entire horn books written on conflicts of interest after these cases, Clarence Thomas will tell you that there is never, ever a conflict of interest. No, nor is there ever an appearance of impropriety, and his wife definitely didn't participate in any insurrections at all, ever. Amen. Praise Jesus.
Yes. Let me ask a question. When I emailed about Cleta Mitchell, how is she? I mean, maybe she's one of the unnamed. Oh, she was on that damn call.
Well, yeah, she was. But I think I have to think that this has been crafted with extreme specificity.
Oh, I agree with you.
Because remember, there are fraud charges in here, and that's one of those things. I don't care if you're in Georgia or Alaska. It's I don't know of anywhere that you don't have to prove fraud with particularity.
Right.
I think there are unindicted co-conspirators who are about to have some thumbscrews applied. And those poor little shitbirds down at the bottom of the pecking order. Well, I mean they're like a low level drug dealer. And I think in a way that she's looking at this like that. You know, squeeze the low level drug dealer, get him to rat on the quarter pound guy above, and move from there to the guy who's moving bales. I mean, this is all a failing analogy now, simply because there's so much legal weed in this country. But not, you know. I mean, my God, when the dispensaries open up in West Virginia, you know. And it's just like I said, we could have had all the marijuana tourism if we'd done this 15 years ago. Now everybody around us has it, too. So, yeah.
Well, let's go to West Virginia and buy some weed.
Why?
Because we can get it in every state from here to there.
Yeah.
I mean, isn't this how a RICO case works, where you try to turn the screws on the lower?
Yes, that's exactly how a RICO case works.
Yeah. And the next thing you know,
you're sending El Chapo off to Florence, Colorado.
Absolutely. Look.
Tonight, the part of El Chapo will be played by Donald Trump. Darlene wrote back in and said, what Steve and Roger said, that we wouldn't be here but for the Electoral College, duly noted. That's the perspective I'm looking for. I'm not sure it'll translate into its abolition, but who knows? It could be a catalyst to getting rid of the Electoral College, but didn't they clarify the laws around the VP's ceremonial duties of presiding over counting the electors? Yes, but that does not clean the stain of America's original sin from the Electoral College. And I think that's a general consensus among most legal scholars that I've heard from. And by the way, Darlene suggests the unindicted co-conspirators must have gotten target letters, right? I don't know. It would have been nice to have somebody with some federal practice experience on the call, billable.
Rick,
no, but where are you? But this is August. This is billable season. So he may be very, very busy. Okay, somebody's on the stress line. Let's find out who. Hey, welcome to the program.
Robin.
Jerry.
I've tried to contact you still like 5 times. Me and Kalindi went shopping at Publix. Like blown away by it, and say hello.
Hey.
And hey, girl. Hey.
Can you imagine all this time I have, and then Trump gets indicted, and I'm busy. I'm like, there's so much going.
Stay out of traffic, Jerry. I mean, I don't know where that horn was coming from, but. Yeah, Publix is fun, and the sourdough is fantastic. And, well, y'all, we got to get out of here. This has been a fantastic conversation this evening. I do. You know, we're never going to get nominated for any awards or anything. Okay, let's try this again.
All right, I'm back.
Okay.
You guys there?
Yeah.
Hello?
Yeah.
It's my evil purple earbuds. They look really cool, but they're evil.
Do they suck?
You touch them, they hang up. They're those kind. They don't have they have capacitive touch things instead of a solid, click and thing button.
Right.
And I'm never doing that again. I hate those. Anyways, how y'all doing? I was listening to the show, and when y'all said something, I had like 2%. I'm like, I can't say shit. I have 2%. But I think wait till I got home, and wow, what a show. What a time. He's going to prison. I've been commenting on this online all week. I go, you don't want to go to jail in Georgia. They think they're their own country. Georgia does not give a fuck.
I want him in the same cell with the guys who murdered Ahmaud Arbery. I'm just kind of intractable.
He's going to make so many friends. But no, there is a 1% chance he may not leave their courtroom this week. That's how they do in Georgia. I'm not telling you anything new, am I?
No, they will fuck you up.
And they don't give a fuck. They don't care who's calling, who you know, who's your daddy. They don't care in Georgia. They don't. No, I don't care in Georgia. They'll call your ex-president. Well, sit there in the president's chair then. No, they're just very mean up there. But they love their prisons. So with that said, he's been like antagonizing her and antagonizing. I think she's going to jail next week. I really do.
I don't. But he has been quiet. I think he's. There are so many cases now and there are so many opportunities for him to step on his. Well, I don't think he can really, but
there you go. No, this was an appropriate. I'll say it, to step on his rather tiny dick. Yes, there we go. All right, go ahead.
And you know, eventually it will happen, but we're not. These judges are too sharp, and these prosecutors are too sharp to play his stupid reindeer games. Okay.
You don't think he would shut the hell up if Trump had to be in holding for 48 hours?
No.
Just to think about life.
Especially
in Georgia where you can't sleep.
Oh, please, Jerry, you sweet summer child. No.
He'd have to go through the jail in New York. He would look shook.
Come on. He would come out. If he spent 48 hours in the tank, he'd come out and fundraise $1 million on it and re-incentivize himself to go for two more.
I hate it. I hate it so much. I know you're right. I know you're right. Yeah, you would. Yeah, you would. But I don't know. He looks scared now. And that was a good catch when you said, what do they call it? The riggers. I have to say that word very carefully.
Yeah. It was the last line in the tripe, and it was all caps. Riggers!
And there was multiple G's, too. I was like, he's holding something back. He had like 4 G's in riggers. He did, didn't he?
No, it was just R-I-G-G-E-R-S, but it was a very hard R.
Oh, man, he was just, it was the R's that were multiplied, not the G's. I know it's the R. Okay, but I was like, he's just so close. Yeah, the way you started the show, I just died laughing. Because he's looking at me, go, what are you laughing at? I go, you don't like clocking, you won't understand anything about it. But I was dying laughing, and then my battery's dying. And yeah, I'm having a show. Here we are. And do I sound like a happy person? You guys know me, Horn. Do I sound happy?
You sound ecstatic.
Yeah. This is the last of the Hawaiian hippie chicks. Yeah, although she doesn't like that. She goes, yeah, I am. I mean, why do you have a butterfly tattoo? Just accept it, honey.
Yep.
It's a moth. Yeah, I got corrected. It's a moth.
Lunar moth?
But I have to tell you something, Robin. You were one of the people who helped me learn how to talk to a nice girl like Kalindi. Because I had a lot of bad jelly in my head. We'll just leave it at that.
Okay.
And it was through the, I get, you know, because, you know, like I from time to time bring up a head injury and it's like a total reset. So I've had to learn how to talk to people. Up to the time. Because like I said, there were some things that were de rigueur. I knew a cowboy for that. In 2006, 2007, and by 2023, nobody says that. And I have to learn all of that and accept it and blah, blah, blah. And it's been a ride. It really has. It has been a ride. So, is that balance? Did anybody kick in on the balance?
We're down to 1290.
We've got to go rob a bank, Clindy.
I'm sorry, 1190. My bad.
1190.
1190.
Well, you can put on your sparkle makeup.
Pardon?
You can put on your sparkle makeup. She bought dollar store sparkle makeup and she had to run over and put it on.
Hey,
it's amazing.
You know what? The translucent press powder at Dollar Tree is fan freaking tastic. And it compares.
I didn't take it seriously.
It compares favorably. It compares favorably with Fenty, which is saying something.
Hmm. It might be the same. And you would know, Robin. You're a. You know, you need to do a beauty tip show once a month. Seriously.
I don't know. Maybe after.
No, seriously, that should.
No, maybe after I've had $70,000 worth of surgery. How about that?
No, nothing visual. Just that the Fendi the powder tip. That's good stuff because, you know, you're in that aisle. You don't want to seem like an idiot. So you go, oh look.
And they've got there's a wonderful little moisturizer. It comes in a little pink container, and there's a serum, and you're gonna spend $40 freaking on it at Ulta or Sephora, or you can spend $1 on it at Dollar Tree.
Same quality?
Yeah.
I haven't been shopping with another human being since 2017.
I mean, you want your moisturizer to moisturize your face. Bang, done. You want your powder to set your face. Done.
Set? What is it? Set? What was that? Like, kind of even it out there, or?
Yeah, sometimes they call it baking. Once you've got everything on. You hit it with the powder so that it sets everything so your face doesn't melt, and then you hit yourself with some setting spray, and you're good to go.
This has become a lot more complicated in the years.
Oh, believe me. The learning curve. I've only started getting competent in, like, the last 9 months. Old pictures of me pop up, and I'm like, But it's a process. It's a process. Hey, I got to share something from Claire across the pond. Claire said something I'd disagree with Steve on. Sorry. Here's the Democracy Index from 2020, the 10 most democratic nations in the world. Number 10, Switzerland. Number 9, Australia. Number 8, Denmark. Number 7, Canada. Number 6, Ireland. Number 5, Finland. Number 4, New Zealand. Number 3, Sweden. Number 2, Iceland. And number 1, Norway.
Finland. Norway, one of those.
Norway's number 1 at a 9.87.
So England.
Yeah,
England,
no UK.
America,
no,
not on the list.
Yeah, no UK, no United States. No France.
And the right wing is spreading in Canada.
No Germany. Oh yeah, I saw where some that one transphobic swimmer, Riley Grimey or something. I never can remember her name. She's gone after Justin Trudeau. Now this is the woman who said, "I had to compete with a biological male and tied with him for fifth place. I should have had fifth place all to myself. They're racing. He's erasing women." And so now,
who contrived said list?
It's the Democracy Index.
Maybe, but who put that together?
I do not know.
Wasn't America?
No. America, fuck yeah.
I just want to interject something real quick. Rob,
yeah, hey, Steve.
How you doing? Hold on, friend.
Jerry, hold up.
I just heard something interesting, Robin, and it's about this Georgia indictment. Kemp can technically replace Bonnie Willis in 8 weeks. Did you hear anything about
that?
Yeah, we were talking about that earlier. Well, he doesn't have an incentive to.
It would be the end of his career. He would be Gerald Forded for the rest of his days.
And he can't run again. And whoever does run for the Republican Party, with Georgia being purple, would probably, you know, just sway the governorship to the left. So I don't think he would risk it. You know,
I don't think so. That was my opinion too. Yeah. I'm glad you made it in at the last minute, Steve. It's good to hear from you.
Yeah, it's good. Good to be here. Well, sorry, just.
Well, did you? I gotta ask you. Did you hear the caller from Hurricane West Virginia this morning?
Oh, I heard it all. In fact, I recorded it and listened to it again while I was working, just in case I missed anything.
It's pretty cringeworthy stuff on there, wasn't it?
Yeah, but there were some people who were celebrating, you know, hey, Donald, karma's a bitch.
Yeah, there was some good calls. They weren't all, you know, off the rails.
No, but...
Robin, there's something I got to ask.
Jerry, hold on. Okay. Steve, I've come up with a new name for Washington Journal.
Journal.
No, Washington Journal will henceforth be known as the C-SPAN Morning Meds Check.
Yeah, that'll work.
It's Med Check. Yeah. It works.
Pedro must have just had a liver panel check. Yeah. Nah, I can't do this anymore, man.
Yeah, that's the thing. Johnny Mac drew the short straw and the swirly straw.
Pedro's like, my AST is too damn high, man. My doctor's grinching. I can't do this.
I don't have to not deal with maggots forever. I just have to not deal with maggots today.
Yeah, just on these hot days, please. You know, bring me in when we're talking about.
Did you see Biden's gaffes on Maui?
I'm sorry, what, Jerry?
Did you see Biden's gaffe on Maui? He kind of fucked the question up.
Hey, he said they'll get out there as quickly as they possibly can.
Hey, they said it. Well, they're all freaking out, jumping up and down in Maui about it because he like laughed or did some weird. I have been on politics today. I've been more into been a hippie day.
Sometimes you have to step away. Like I said, I kind of got a little lesson in perspective last night. The news of the, and well, this will just put a little bow on the program because it's kind of how it started. We were watching
the hurricane. No, the tornado. I heard it.
Yeah, we were watching. Watching the last episode of the White House Plumbers, and I was thinking, you know. This is going to be these trials are going to be 10,000 times more zany than that. But yeah, then the next thing I know, I'm sitting on FaceTime with my son, hoping it's not the last thing I ever see of him.
Who is the hornista who said he's never going to trial? Because that was a big thing about years ago. He's never getting charged. He's never going to trial. And when you're telling me I'm splitting. Right here, when you're telling me about the tornado and how it skipped by and you saw the fear in his face, I was like, wow, that's really good. And wow, that's terrifying. But you should be able to hear fear from somebody's voice. But to see it, or to watch the room explode, God forbid. So he's never dealt with that before at all?
Once or twice when he was a kid with me and we were down in Alabama, but he doesn't. He'd never felt the full force of the existential terror that goes with it.
I made a mental joke in my head. I go, the black parents talk to their kids about the cops. White parents talk to their kids about, okay, everybody get low because it's, you know, different challenges. But it seems like anywhere affordable is usually on the edge of some really bad weather. You notice that?
Well, yeah, I mean.
I noticed it.
But
it's either by the chemical plant or by the tornadoes.
Yeah. I mean, here we don't get tornadoes. We don't get earthquakes. We don't get much in the way of forest fires. We just have major corporations blowing up mountains and poisoning the very air that we breathe, even though we can't tell that we're breathing poisoned air.
And you have cancer clusters and...
Yeah.
Opioid addiction because there ain't no health care. Everybody beats their body to death, and you're an old man at 35.
It's almost like you've been here, Jerry.
You know, somebody said something once, and it's slightly racist, but it's dead on. One day everybody's going to wake up black. And that's what's going on. They're done with us, as it were. They've extracted what they can extract. Planet's heating up, so off to China or Thailand's nice right now. Vietnam's coming online. Capitalism must flow.
Uruguay is looking very nice to me. You know,
their governments are stable as fuck lately. What's going on?
As long as their neighbors in Argentina don't go full fascist.
Well, they killed two candidates in Ecuador.
Uruguay's great if you're a carnivore.
Yes.
I'm a vegetarian. Is that Roger?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Roger's probably killing something now. Just with his mind. Just, you know, shooting out, you know, spears with his mind. Like, huh. Is he really?
No, some of
the, wait a second. The thing I saw.
Go, Roger.
Barbecue-type beef places are in Uruguay and Argentina as well.
No, Picanha?
Has fantastic restaurants and meat. There's an old railroad station. I think it's a railroad station that they've converted, and it's a market. And, I mean, there's a ton of restaurants in the market, and they're kind of like walk-up places. They're not sit-down restaurants. They're walk-up places. And they're doing barbecue, and the sauces they put on them, and the meat they're cooking, fantastic. The chorizo recipe that we make is a Uruguayan chorizo recipe. Wow.
And of course, you know, what is it? Curiscaria. I got nothing. My Spanish and my Portuguese fucking suck. Flavio is just screaming at the walls right now. But all that, you know, that roasted meat culture that goes from Brazil to Argentina to Uruguay.
I call it jungle food, because you're in the jungle, so you got to kill something and set it on fire. I would like to, you know what? I just thought about something. Hey, what do you think about South America? Like where? Roger just mentioned Uruguay, but we're vegetarian, so what would we do?
It's not like there aren't any vegetables there.
I know. I'm being
you can have plantains until hell won't hold you.
Roger did make me have some meat cravings there. He was talking about an Argentine something a few weeks ago, and he just went deep. He went full hardcore food porn, and I was like, damn, that does suck.
Well, I want one of Roger's much vaunted pisco sours. I just want one.
Yeah. From what? One of the
it's a cocktail, a pisco sour.
That's my wife's specialty. I don't make them.
Your wife from Peru, Roger?
Yes.
Well, I adore your wife, and I would love to try one of those concoctions.
How'd you meet?
At a conference on Amazonian biology in Iquitos, Peru, and our first night date kind of thing, we left the dance and went and sat on the banks of the Amazon and passed a Spanish-English-English-Spanish dictionary back and forth to be able to carry on a conversation, because my Spanish sucked and so did her English.
So adorable.
And you both met in the middle. I mean, I enjoyed meeting her last year so very much.
And that was in 72, and we didn't get married till 87.
You just kept going down there, and she came up, or?
Oh, she came up here to babysit for her nephew, and they talked her into taking the TOEFL, the test for English proficiency, which she knew she was going to flunk. She passed it and then started working on a master's degree, and then moved on to George Washington University and got her PhD, and then got married, went back to Peru, had two kids, got divorced, came back and was doing cancer research in Florida, and dug out her old address book and wrote a postcard to me in California, and I got on a plane and flew to Florida, and a few little while later, she got on a plane and came to California, and we got married.
And the rest is history. Well, I've got to get out of here because we are overtime. But I want to end with a happy story. And it's what they call in the professional news media a kicker. You know, things like, and this was a wacky thing, as Florida man walked into a liquor store and robbed it with an alligator under his arm.
Yeah, it wasn't a liquor store. It was a drive-thru at a Burger King, and I guess they fucked his order up. But I got a call from the group. I saw a Skype call, and I've never gotten a Skype call in my life. And I saw it was Roger. I was like, oh, shit, that's like the bat signal. I hope everybody's okay. And I picked up, but Skype runs like shit on his phone.
Well, so anyway, our happy little story. It turns out
I do cut people off.
It turns out that Rudy Giuliani is ice cold, stone cold broke.
Wow, he's selling his apartment, yeah?
He's doing that, but he's also got a $90,000 sanction in the defamation case against the two women, the mother and the daughter in Georgia.
He owes a million for something, doesn't he?
He's got a $20,000 a month electronic record storage Jones. He's in hock for a $15,000 search or more for his records. And he's got a $57,000 unpaid phone bill.
How much?
$57,000.
How do you get a $57,000 phone bill in 2023?
Well, it starts out with a Jeroboam of really bad. Jerry, it starts out with a Jeroboam of really bad scotch. And, one night. He's an old fart. He's probably still using 900 sex numbers. You know, 1-900.
Was he roaming through Mexico?
1-900.
With data? You could even.
1-900 spank me. I've been bad.
That's crazy. How do you have a $57,000 phone bill?
And his pettifoggers, who are never going to get paid, this week submitted a brief that said, because, you know, you have to produce financial statements when you're in criminal cases sometimes. And they said, compelling our poor client to produce a detailed financial report is only meant to embarrass Mr. Giuliani and draw attention to his misfortunes.
That's crazy.
Come on.
I mean, who do you think? Let's take a bet. Or how do they do that? It's not a bet. It's not a poll. What's that thing when they like have a suicide poll or something? Who's gonna flip?
I'm thinking, given the fact that Giuliani absolutely destroyed his entire life for Nitwit Nero, his sense of omerta may find itself flying out the window. So far, like I said, he's been trying to point the finger at Squidney Powell. But when the light goes on and he figures out that none of this would have ever happened to him and he could have just been a pervert married to his cousin for another time and gone happily into his retirement and sucked good scotch out of a straw, he may grow some wheels and get rolling.
He did the fake elector thing, though. That's the biggest charge.
Yeah.
That was his baby.
Yeah, and he's already been sanctioned for what he did.
I thought you were going
to
put the fruit
to the mother daughter poll worker team, and he confessed in open court that it was all bullshit.
This is crazy. We knew they were lying. They knew they were lying, and now we're here. We all won. I wanted this, but I'm a little terrified, you know, especially where Trump's like, I'm going to bring a report on Monday. I'm dying to hear that. I'm like, oh, please.
Oh, yeah, he'll stand there.
He'll
stand there and wave a manila file folder with a bunch of blank pages in it and say,
everything in here shows that Fannie Willis is a rigger.
Wow. That word sounds very dangerous, but... Why does anybody ask him why, though? And there's another podcaster on another channel who's going, bring your mules. And every time I hear that, I'm dying laughing. I'm like, bring all your mules, motherfucker. So, is he going to leave the country? Is he going to kill himself? Is somebody going to flip? I mean, we're literally at the end of the road. Doesn't he have a thing with Chuck in next week, too? We did that already. No, yeah, that's on the 14th, right?
Well, they all still have to show up in Atlanta to answer the indictment. They've got 10 days.
Yeah.
They got 10 days or else the capias issues.
And please talk shit, Trump. Please. Georgia's different. They catch feelings. In fact, Georgia invented fighting words, didn't they? That's their invention, isn't it? Yeah.
I don't know if it was Georgia, but they probably got it. Y'all, I do. I got to get out of here, but this has been a fantastic conversation. Thanks, everybody. thanks to our Patreon and PayPal subscribers. Thank you to our a la carte contributors, and there were many of you this evening. Thank you so much. We actually got done with last Wednesday and took a $10 bite out of last Thursday. So we're not quite an entire broadcast week behind, and that's amazing. Thank you. Thank you to each and every one of you who share your precious finite time engaging in the program in whatever manner you so choose. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff. Thanks to Steve, Brother Bishop Steve, and thanks to Roger. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thanks, Brother Deacon Asa, HeadOn.live. Please, if you're listening to the podcast, like it, subscribe to it, stand on the rooftop and yell about it, tell your friends on social media about it. What we're doing here is pretty damned amazing. And the fact that we've been doing it for 20 years? Almost 20 years? Wow! Leave a comment for the algorithm. Help boost us in viewability. When I share the show on my Facebook page on Podbean or on over on Ixter, well, share it along. Some of you already do, and I really appreciate it. It means so very much. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the folks at Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. 20 plus years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia, and a proud union shop. Please stay safe. Get your booster. Wear your mask if you're around the maggots, because they don't give a damn about anyone but themselves, and precious little about themselves, even. Wash your hands, don't touch your face, use your hand sanitizer, carry some with you, pocket or purse. Maintain your social distance. And, well, if a guy with Grecian formula running down his the sides of his temples approaches you on the sidewalk saying, "Hey, buddy, you got a dollar?" Don't give a fucking penny to Rudy Giuliani, and avoid him like the plague, because he is. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Later.